All right.
You want to introduce us?
You want my nephew to introduce us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's go, Stevie. You're going to be on the show.
Well, welcome to Geek Brunch number 16. Yeah.
All right.
Ow! Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it worked. Happy New Year.
Worked on the first time.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
It's
welcome
new year.
To 2018.
When did we record last? Was it before New Year's or after? I can't remember.
It was 2017.
Oh.
Way back.
But it was after Christmas, right?
It was... No, it must have been before Christmas.
Hmm.
Yes, it was a week before Christmas.
Wow, it's been that long?
And then there was Christmas, and then there was a retrocast.
Huh.
And now there's a Geek Brunch cast.
I was eating a bizcochito.
A bizcochito.
A bizcochito.
What is that?
It's a New Mexican sugar cookie.
A biscuit?
My cousin made a business out of it.
Cookie? Sugar cookie?
Yeah, so there's Selena Bizcochitos in New Mexico. It's the New Mexican state cookie. She has her own company, and
nice.
She's doing very well, just selling bizcochitos.
She's sponsoring this episode.
Yeah,
that's
there
nice
you go.
And how are the Bizquito Cheetos?
I think you'd like them. I mean, the only thing that really stands out. Well, it's a light. It's very light, so it like almost melts in your mouth, so it's good that way. But it's got anise in it. I don't know if you like that seasoning. Anise.
I like
seeds.
Anise.
Yeah, if you like it. It's like a
I like
cinnamon.
Licorice,
I would describe it as a cinnamon sugar cookie with anise.
Huh, that's is that the traditional flavoring?
Yeah. It's got, and it has riboflavin in it, so you can't go wrong there.
Mmm. That is delicious.
And brandy. How about that?
Brandy.
That's a good song.
I love that song. That was
so
in a movie recently,
wrong.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it's in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Wasn't Star-Lord's dad driving off or Snake Plissken?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's convertible.
And I started to cry.
Yeah, I did.
I'm recording from a different room today, so if the acoustics are different, that's why.
The toilet?
On the throne.
You're on the throne.
Well, that's where I do all my comic book readings, so I figured, hey, why not do my podcasting from here, too?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Plus, you're already hooked in. If you have something you need to do, you just do it.
I know. I don't have to take a break.
That's right.
I'm actually coming to you live from my family room.
Oh.
Or living room. One of those two.
What's the change? Why the change?
Why the change?
Yeah.
Mostly because my office is a mess now because I'm trying to file comics. So there are currently comics everywhere.
That's my life.
The joy of of taking boxes of comics that have needed to be filed and trying to figure out where to put them all.
Yeah. I ran out of backing boards, so the table's a mess.
Ooh.
And my Mylars, so
That's what I last Saturday I told my wife, these comic boxes will be out of the family room by the end of the day. That was my plan. And then I ran out of bags.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks because I like know what my intake is. Basically, it's 1,000 books
every year,
two and a half months.
Oh. I knew it wasn't every year.
So then that's a bunch of hardcovers on top of that and paperbacks and everything else. Because I know when I place my order is every 2.5 months. That's when I run out of supplies.
Oh, so that's how you keep track of how many comics you're buying.
Yeah.
By your bag usage. Bags and boards. Whew. Well, that means
I love their product. I absolutely love their product. And I love the lady that's on the other line of the phone. But it's so inconvenient. It is so like it's so archaic. It's back to like retro calling CD. For ordering because you can't even place an order online and their hours are like from 10 to 5 Monday through Friday and they get every holiday off plus every day after the holiday. So like if you don't like anticipate this, you can run out of supplies.
Yeah, you could be out for a week.
The other problem is I have to go somewhere local for the drawer boxes, and usually what I do with the drawer boxes is I buy them like 25 short boxes at a time, mm-hmm. and I stick them in my storage unit, and then I have a stockpile of them in case something happens, and I'm at that point now where I need to place another order of 25 short drawer boxes.
Get them. That's good that you have a local place that you can get them from, though.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the shipping on those things is like more than the boxes cost.
Yeah, it would suck. I'm lucky that there's one shop in the Springs that has it, and if what happened is the guy's in Denver, so worst cases, I could really go nuts and really stockpile, right? But I could go up there to Denver every 6 months and buy a boatload of unprepped boxes and then stick them in the storage unit. You know what I mean? And then build them out as I need it. So that's the worst case.
Then start,
Denver's only an hour away.
Then start selling them out of your storage unit.
Yeah, I can. I can make a business out of it. You want drawer boxes? Could,
yeah, every drawer box comes with a free biscochito.
You get a free biscochito with it. Or a bag of chili chips. Man, those are fucking hot. Holy crap.
I saw your picture of those. Those look good.
Do you remember, like, back in the day when you do, like, road trips, there were, like, Stuckies? We talked about this? We did not talk about it.
We never had Stuckies, and I don't think...
Well, it was like a chain, and you'd always see it on Route 66. So you know the song Route 66, right? You'd see several Stuckies, and they're in the middle of nowhere. And there's a gas station between here and Albuquerque, and they have chili, green and red chili popcorn, and red chili chips. And back when I was a kid, they used to have red chili chips, and they used to come in, I think, as Lay's. And then they stopped making them. So it's very similar to what I had as a kid, except like 7,000 times hotter because they're not a major brand.
Okay.
Like Lay's knew how to like sprinkle the red chili powder on there. This one's hot. It's kind of good because I don't know about you, but when I eat some Lay's chips, I could do a half a bag if I don't have any self-control. Because I like Lay's chips.
Well, but, of course, anyone can do that. That's why I tell my kids, don't eat out of the bag. Pour them in a bowl. Because otherwise, you'll just keep eating.
Well, the good thing is about red chili chips.
Oh, they're so hot?
They're so hot. I could do like 15 max chips. Yeah. I mean, the ideal is like 5 to 10 because they're so hot. Like me, I made sandwiches on Friday for me and Barb, and I said, I'm going to throw some chips on there. And I was at the point where I was hitting about 10, and I was like, God damn, this is hot. And then on top of that, I made fried bologna with jalapenos in it. So I had a serious fire going on in my stomach.
What do you mean jalapenos in it?
Over here in Colorado Springs, Oscar Mayer sells bologna with jalapenos in it.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know if that's a thing here, but I don't eat bologna, so.
And then what I do is I fry it.
Oh sure. God. I remember fried bologna as a kid. That was classic.
Yeah. Well, I'd have it two ways. I'd have your standard Oscar Mayer fried bologna, and then sometimes you'd get the ring bologna, you know, the little circular bologna. And then my mom would fry that up. You'd have to peel the skin off of it, mm-hmm. and we'd eat it like that. But I like it, like three slices of jalapeno bologna, a slice of cheese. Well, I microwave the bologna or I fry it in a pan, depending on how much time is allowed.
Yeah.
And then I throw some cheese on it, and I toast some bread, and then mustard the hell out of it, and that's just a delicious sandwich.
What kind of mustard do you use on that?
Just regular mustard, yellow
mustard. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because it's more like a hot dog.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, I don't put any Dijon or any of those fancy mustards.
No, those fancy ass brown ass mustards.
Yeah. I was listening to Nerdy Legion, and they were talking about an article that came over the 10 best books of 2018. Did you listen to that one?
I have not.
Or 2017. And
ever since those guys dissed me,
they rejected their
podcast.
Yeah, they fell for you. That they didn't know that you were the guy that created that list. You're and you put all the books on there from like 1960 and Love and Rockets, and didn't even put a 9th and 10th issue on there just to fuck with people.
As far as I'm concerned, the best book last year was created by Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. You had the whole industry fooled with that list. They all that was a good name you put it under, and because you got a lot of people in the industry fired up, and Nerdy Legion fell for it. And you were just trying to get their attention, and it worked.
That was the sole purpose of the list, to piss off the Nerdy Legion.
It was like putting some fireballs on a little, you know, those salmon eggs on the little hook and tossing it in there and letting them bite. They fell for it. Oh, they were just talking about the list, how this guy was clickbait material. Like he was driving like a lot of people to go see it because industry people were clicking on it and then finding out all the books were like old. And they said there's nothing worth reading in 2017.
There's nothing good in 2017. The end.
Yeah.
I never followed up on that. I have to listen to that episode. Well, do they? Or are they just ranting the whole episode?
No, they're talking about that.
I just haven't got to that episode yet.
It's new. It just came out. So,
So was that guy's list a joke?
No, I think it's real, but I think he's a writer to piss people off. Like, they hire people.
Oh, he's just a troll.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Because it drives it drives clicks over to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting job, but I don't think I could live with myself.
Yeah.
We should do that for this podcast.
If you do that, it's like you're one of those mothers with 35 kids answering the 1-800 number for a sex line. You ever see that? And they're like 300 pounds. You're kind of like that because you're not really what you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but in that case, at least you're providing the service that, that the people need. I mean, despite what you may look like, right?
Yeah, I guess
it's
right.
Only over the phone. If then you sent your picture and it was different, then I could see. Like, yeah, if you had an ad for, like, well, or if you're, like, an escort and
false
you have, like, this beautiful model, yeah, and then she shows up and she's missing half her teeth and hunched over.
Yeah.
Well, that might be all right, too, but... Sorry, I'm cracking myself up.
Yeah, we had that. In your family room.
Family room, yeah.
Don't mind me.
Talking about toothless hookers in my family room.
Yeah, we had one of those at one of my friends' bachelor parties when I was in college. I don't know who was in charge of getting the stripper, but oh my god.
Your friend had a bachelor party in high school? Oh, at least in college.
No, in college, yeah.
Okay. Still so young. You know,
I remember one of my friends drinking out of her shoe, and I'm like, "That is disgusting!" Like,
I think I remember you telling this
story.
You don't
know, yeah. You don't know where those feet have been.
Well, you do know.
Like, I was like, I was nauseated just thinking that he was drinking out of her shoe. I'm like, ugh.
And I guarantee you, some dudes have done some stuff on those shoes.
Oh yeah, either that or. She's handled some dude with her feet, because they're guys with feet fetish.
Yeah, I was going to say, or some dude's done some stuff on her feet.
That's right. Probably
that she's
next
put her
door,
feet in
that,
the
like,
shoe.
She probably came directly from that. And then you're drinking somebody else's semen.
Yep, you got the jizz in the mouth.
And you're going, yeah!
This is great! Oh, well, at least that was... Oh, no, that was after HIV, wasn't it?
God, what was HIV? 90?
Oh, this eight. That was 80s. That was high school.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I remember the Spectre, John Ostrander's Spectre, dealt with HIV, and it was around the time of HIV being really
big. It was late 80s.
Before it was under control.
Yeah, that was late 80s.
Let me see. Spectre Volume 3, that's what I judge HIV by.
Your marker is, when did it appear in the comics?
It was 92.
They're late to the game, man.
So, no, but they're probably when it was borderline not in control, because in the Spectre, there's scenes, well, there's a cop. He's like a beat detective. And he fell in love with this girl, and she has HIV, so he cut it off. And even then, like in issue 12, where she's sitting there bleeding to death, and she's saying, please hold me, please hold me, and she's bleeding to death because there was an HIV killer, he won't hold her because he's terrified because her blood is all over the place.
Yeah.
And this was sort of when it wasn't, you know, when it came out, it was horrible, and they didn't get under control until, like, they got those pills and a couple other things to go. I think this was before it was under control. I mean, it happened. You're right. It happened in the 80s, but it was in.
Yeah, it was still. I mean, through. Yeah, it was still bad. Like at its peak, I think through the 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s. So yes, you were probably there was probably some HIV in those shoes.
I didn't touch them.
I hope not. I hope not for the sake of your.
Yeah, no, I know he's not. He's married and
okay, he's okay. He survived.
A hardcore Christian and Republican, so.
So next time you can be like, remember that time you drank?
Remember
the
that time
the
you
juice?
Drank out of that stripper shoe?
Remember that time you drank that jizz out of the shoe? I'm glad he turned his life around.
Yeah. Maybe he did it. Maybe he's still doing
ways.
That. Maybe
that's
still,
true.
He's still like, drinking jizz out
of
his shoes.
Some of those hardcore religious people are hardcore religious because they're covering up some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, probably some of them are being blackmailed by Russians because they're either gay or they're doing something. But who knows?
If you're doing something that you hate, then you tend to lash out at everyone else who's doing it as well.
Yep. Well, it was the big church here. I forget what it was called, but it's still here. That's what happened with the guy who was running the whole church. He was having a sexual relationship with the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got leaked and the church kicked him out. And he formed another church. Focus on the family.
Yes. Hey, that's fine. Family's important. And you can have gay parents. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what he's preaching, but... There are all kinds of families, Mike.
There are.
There's some kids have two mommies. Some kids have two daddies.
Some have kids more have than that. Because
men who are stuck in their
married several times.
Stuck in their some women are married to men who are stuck in their teenage years and still read comic books and.
Well, like if you were the son of the guy that was the Raytheon engineer that created the Barbie doll. He was in four marriages. I don't know how many kids he had.
He had a lot of marriages. He went through a lot of money, too.
He had a castle, and he was rich, and he had the cocaine.
He did. He had a moat. Wait, did he get a moat, or did he just want a moat, and they wouldn't let him?
I think they said he had a moat. It was only a house that had a moat.
Yes, so we're talking about, what's that show called? I don't even know what it is.
Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, Toys That Made Us on Netflix, which I think is, on Netflix it says it's 8 episodes, but there's only 4 so far.
Yeah.
So
you know what I hope they do, but I don't think they're going to do? I mean, it showed up in one of the, it was either He-Man or G.I. Joe, I can't remember. I think it was the He-Man one, is the Big Jim's pack. God dang, I would like be stoked if they did something.
Oh, they did a Big Jim one?
They used some parts from Big Jim for one of the toy lines. I can't remember. Because they go into competition mode and it's fascinating because that happens in any kind of business. You're trying to beat the competition to the punch. So one of the first things you ask yourself is, what do I already have? What do I already know? What could I put out there to simulate this capability? You know?
Right.
And that's what they did, is they're like, we got to get this out, so let's prototype. The prototypes were based on Big Jim and his pack.
Right. There was two things in that series that kind of surprised me. Surprised me in that I didn't really know what was going on, but if I had thought about it, I probably could have figured out that it was going on. One is that a lot of these companies literally just steal the molds from other companies.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because really all they have to do is take a figure, stick it in whatever material, and then you can make a mold of it. So they'll do that and just steal, like, the arm or whatever, or the leg, and reuse it. So, that's cheating, right? Well, they modify it a little bit, I guess. But they use the base from the other company.
They use it for a base, and then they clay mold it over it.
Right.
And then they have their prototype, and then you just mass produce it.
Yeah, you just create molds of it. And then the other thing is, and this was, so Barbie, they found out that Gem and the Rockers, or whatever it's called, was coming out. So before... And I can't remember how they found it out, but someone on their team found out that the company was developing Gem, this rock star Barbie clone thing.
Which is a comic that you made me buy and then you never read it. Okay, so let's point that out.
I did read it, not all of it.
No, you didn't. You didn't read it. You didn't even buy it. I bought Gem. God damn it.
I own all the Sophie Campbell gems, and I've read several of them. I do. I'll read them. Next episode, we can read them all.
I'm not going to buy any more Gem. I bought that one.
You can reread that one.
And I don't even know if I lost the bet, because Matt Kent never really answered me. He said, I think so.
Exactly, he thinks so.
Do you remember what the bet was?
No, something about Megan.
No, we bet that it wouldn't include the Dark Horse Comics Presents
that's...
prequel stuff. to the his first Dark Horse release. Do you remember?
I remember.
And I got a tweet back from him saying, I think so. So I bought Gem because he said, I think so. And I don't have any confirmation.
What series was that?
It wasn't Department H or Depth. It was the one before it. The plain one? Mind Management.
Oh, the Mind Management. That's
yeah. Because there, when Mind Management came out, it came out with number one, but there was some stuff before it.
Right. Oh, so the question was whether it's going to be in the the hardcover.
And that's when I started buying Dark Horse Comics Presents, because I didn't want to miss out on something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I said, and you're saying you should have bought it. And I said, no, it'll be in the collection.
Yeah.
And well, the collection's got to be out now, so... But it's too late now. You already lost the bet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's in there. Listeners, someone call in to our 1-800 number. What is our number again?
1-800-8-tracks.com.
That's right. 1-800-8-tracks.com. Give us a call. The lines are open.
So, we're back to Gem. Go ahead and finish.
Sure, sure.
Your title.
So right. So they heard that that this company was bringing out Gem. I don't remember what company it was. So they said, "Quick, we need to bring out something similar." So they brought out Barbie and the Rockers, and they got to market before Gem came out.
Well,
that's fair. Although they're using information they probably didn't get legal or shouldn't have had.
And then when they're losing, they play dirty too. Do you remember the Bratz dolls? They lost to the Bratz. Mm-hmm. And that's fairly recent. Bratz was like either 2000s or 90s. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was 2000s probably.
It was the 2000s. And they beat Mattel in the sales. Like, Barbie wasn't selling anymore. And then they took them to court. They ended up losing, but they stalled. They stalled the company so long that they lost their popularity. They lost their steam because they were so focusing on the courtroom stuff.
And I don't know. So
it just shows how big corporations could drive out the little ones by keeping something legal, you know, illegal for a long time.
I just couldn't believe Barbie and the Rockers, like, they didn't come up with it. The only reason they brought it out is because they heard this other company was going to bring out Rockers.
Yeah, they have toy spies. It's espionage.
It is. It's like this other company comes up with a great idea. They have this great product they're going to bring to market, and then they get shafted by Barbie.
And you see it in movies all the time. Oh, we have a movie that's going to have an earthquake or a volcano. And then you have, like, three movies of the volcano. Oh, we're going to have a movie where a comet is going to come and crash in, and then you have Armageddon and the other one come out. You know, it all starts with an idea, and then it's, like, the first one to try to do it. You didn't see the Canon Films thing, did you?
I did not.
They worked on that. That's their whole... That was their whole thing.
Wait, which one was that?
That was it was a documentary about Canon Films.
What did they make?
They made He-Man. They made Missing in Action. They made Death Wish.
Oh, I started to watch it.
Superman 4.
Is that the Israeli guys or something?
Yeah, yeah.
I started to watch that. I started to watch it, but I was watching it in my family room, and I didn't realize there was going to be so many titties.
That's what the way they started. They started off that way. And then when they went to Hollywood, they know they had to tone it down. But they didn't with Bo Derek because they found out about 10 and came out with Bordello. And that movie flopped. And they had, like, Bo Derek naked in almost every scene. which was something I got to go see if I can purchase on Amazon Prime or something.
Have you seen that one?
No. But I hear she's, like, on a horse naked all the time. So I'm going to... check it out.
That was the one downside to that movie, is like everything they were showing, I'm like, oh, I want to see that. What was that? There was like what was the hooker one they did?
Those ones I saw. Are you talking about Emmanuel?
No. Like Hollywood
Hooker?
Yeah, was it Hollywood Hookers? I didn't know there was like three of them.
Those ones I saw on VHS back in high school. Yeah.
I remember them from back. Like, that's the other thing. A lot of these movies I remember from back in the day, either ones that I saw or ones that I heard about and wanted to see but never saw.
Those are movies like with my buddies that when I was in basketball team, we'd rent like bad films. Like we'd go rent Faces of Death. We'd go rent those cheesy films because our video store had like a new to DVD, you know, just straight to DVD movies and stuff like that.
Well, back then it wasn't DVDs though.
I mean, straight to VHS.
Straight to video.
It's all videos. There are video stores.
Yeah.
The video stores that were small, but even before Blockbuster, where they had the little curtain and you could go get pornos.
Yeah, the little back room.
Yeah, there's a little curtain. And then you don't tell me you didn't peek behind the curtain every now and then. You'd walk by and see if there's a little gap in the curtain just to see if you could.
I couldn't wait for the day that I turned 18 and could go behind the curtain. And then there's a bunch of dudes in there not making eye contact with one another.
Yeah. It's not as impressive when you're back there with a bunch of dudes.
The dudes with creepy mustaches. And
It's more impressive when you're a kid and imagining what's back there.
Sure, the unknown. Yeah,
yeah, the unknown. But anyway, yeah, they all steal ideas. Like even the G.I. Joe with the articulation, it was really an art based on those art dummies, dolls.
Yeah. Well, that's how the I think Barbie was the same way. Like,
oh yeah, the porno, the porno doll.
Yeah, because it started to be a knockoff of that. Did they say that was based on a comic book?
It was based on an adult newspaper strip that was popular.
Newspaper strip, yeah.
Yeah, and it was sold to older men in Switzerland. I think it was Switzerland or Sweden. It was one of the two. I can never remember.
Yeah, and they had a nudie figure.
They like if you look at her doll and you look at the first prototype of Barbie, they look very similar.
Yeah, it's copied.
But even the jaw structure and how fat the face was, or how they made it like V-shaped, you know, like where it was skinny at the base and then went out.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same doll.
Yeah, but
the engineer added a bunch of articulation to move.
Yeah, that was his invention, yeah. The articulation. And then his genius thing was coming up with like the bent waist.
Yeah.
Where when you twist her, she like kind of moves.
Sure. And I think Mattel or the husband and wife came up with, hey, we need to have all these accessories. I don't think the other doll did. Like, we're going to have dresses for everything. And it's interesting, too, from a comic book perspective, because of the romance comics that were out during that time, how they were catering girls to mostly have proper manner and such so they can marry somebody that has money. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the role before the war.
Mm-hmm.
Was that before the war? Well, it definitely was the role before the war. Then women got jobs and said.
I don't think Barbie came in until after the war, though.
Yeah, no, that was definitely after the war. But
then you were like, you were you were in the nuclear age. Do you know what I mean? And then there's always the fear of what do they call it, the nuclear family?
Nuclear family.
They were actually villains of the Outsiders. Nuclear family, drawn by Jim Aparo.
Yeah, and I'm no expert in culture, but for sure that the toys of the time kind of followed what the culture was, where the culture was headed, I guess.
Yeah.
So
sure.
as women started to, you know, break free of the old norms and become individuals, then the Barbies kind of supported that.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I love those kind of documentaries, and the fact that they're about. I mean, even though I never collected a lot of those toys, like, so we're a similar age where we kind of aged out of action figures about around the time that Transformers and He-Man were coming out. But I still have an interest. I was still aware of them, so I still have an interest in their histories.
Yeah, I was well aware of them. I just never watched the cartoons or bought any action figures. My brother did. My brother had G.I. Joes. I don't think we ever had a He-Man.
Yeah, my brother did. My brother's like 4 years younger than me, so he was into all that stuff. So I got to see all that stuff vicariously.
Yeah.
I was, of course, too cool for it, but but he had all that stuff.
And my mind was still trying to figure out, well, my figures, you could, like, they were dolls. You could bend them and the muscles would pop out. And they weren't these plastic things. Or if they had a beard, it was real fuzz.
Yep. I had the one of those 12-inch G.I. Joes back in the day.
I did not, but my friend did. I had a big $6 million man.
I had that too. Man, I was loaded down with the toys.
Yeah, I had the $6 million man. I still have my big gym. I still have my $6 million man.
I think I had a big gym. Well, I remember having one. I don't think they talked about this on the
Action Jackson.
It was one where it was like hard plastic. It wasn't articulated at all.
I don't remember just made of any of those.
It was just plastic. It was like a 12-inch made of plastic.
I remember those, but I had one that was a cowboy. But
yeah, like the hand, you could pop the hands off, I think.
Yeah, you could pop the hands off of it, but I don't know what they were.
Yeah, what were those?
mine was just a cowboy. He was plastic, like 12-inch. He could move his arms, his legs.
They're like all one color. I think I had like a blue one.
The arms you could pop off. You could put like it would come with guns and stuff, and you could bend the hands.
They're cowboys.
They could hold them. Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, what were those?
But during the time of G.I. Joe, there was G.I. Joe and Action Jackson, and the thing of Action Jackson is he had more outfits. He was like the Barbie doll. Like you could get one Action Jackson and buy like 12 different sets. I have one Action Jackson. I never liked them because their points of articulation, like where they weren't like ball movement. They were held by strings and rubber band contraptions. And when they broke, the arm would just go poof. It would just like dangle there.
Yeah. And then I don't specifically
have no articulation.
I don't specifically remember having those, but I know for sure I did have one with a string.
Yeah.
Because I remember it being broken. Well, weren't there ones like you could like pull the arm out and you could see like the rubber band or whatever inside?
Yeah, you could see it in there. Those ones I hated. Those ones that would frustrate the hell out of me. Like the big gyms, they were always like well put together toys. I had the major pack, but none of the villain. I had the Whip, Dr. Steel, Big Jim, of course, Warpath, and Torpedo Fist. And I had the Corvette where the lasers would pop out. You'd hit a button. It looked like a regular Corvette. And then the where the engine is, huge lasers would pop out of it. And then I had a camper with the motorbike and the trailer hitch.
That must have been huge.
It is. I still have it. I have. I'll send you pictures. They're in great shape. I mean, I kept good care of my toys.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that on Retrocast.
Yeah,
that you're anal about your toys, but your father taught you well.
Well, my brother destroyed his, and I kept mine. And it's not
today.
That I didn't play with them. I just wanted to always have them.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, it started with Big Jim, and then the Mego dolls. I think Big Jim was even before I got into the Mego, and then it went to Star Wars, and then I kind of dropped out. Oh, no, Super Powers, and then the Mattel, Secret Wars. And after that came out, then I stopped. Yeah. Secret Wars
for me
and Super
too.
Powers, I was done. That was it. I was no more. Even the cartoons I stopped watching, unless it was like X-Men or Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends or something, I tuned out of all the toy property toys. Like there's a lot of, there's a whole generation of like the Star Joes group and stuff that that was their a little younger than us, and that was their toys, you know.
Right. Yeah, we missed the whole the He-Man, Transformers, and G.I. Joes. Because we were just a little too old. We were too cool for those. We were going into high school, and
I never thought it was worth me hitting the VCR timer because I was always busy with practice or whatever. After I couldn't get home in time to see the cartoon anyway, and if it was on Saturday mornings, I stopped being able to watch stuff. And if I did start recording stuff, but it was only very limited. I would do the Amazing Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk cartoon and a couple others, but that was it.
Yeah, I think after that point, I don't remember.
I do like the He-Man guys, how they were like bullshit artists, though. Like, they'd go into the meeting with the toy company, they'd ask all the questions. And then that one guy was just like a bullshit artist, and he says, "You have a song, you have a cartoon and a comic lined up?" And he goes, "No, I just bullshit it." I was like, "I'm like, goddamn." There's people in marketing that do that all the time. Even in software,
yeah.
I call it
vaporware. Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. I thought the documentary was really, really a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I liked in the He-Man one where they talked about how they came up with like the names of all the characters, basically they just got in a meeting room and just kind of just brainstormed names and put them together. And
I like the talk of the Stinkor, how it stunk up the factory.
Well, the factory.
We're gonna make a villain that stinks. Like.
I knew there was a Stinkor. I didn't know it stank. I don't think my brother never had that one. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
He had a lot of those. Those figures were good though, because they were I don't know if they were the first ones, but one of the cool things about them was they actually did stuff. They had like motions and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at the timeline, but Superpowers did that.
Yeah, I don't think they were the first to do it.
If you push the arms, like Flash's legs would move and stuff like that. The fist or the karate chop was a notorious one, where you could. A matter of fact, in the Superpowers, I have Red Tornado, and I have Samurai. You know, the guy from the Super Friends cartoon. And if you push their arms together, I think it's the arms together, their legs go in tornado motion. They go side to side, you know, in a circle in 360. I think they were before He-Man, I think. Might have been same time, I don't know. No, I think they were
before. I don't know. I wonder if they'll talk about that in a...
Well, the thing that stood out, I found the Barbie one the best. And it was because I thought the backstory of the people was the most interesting. Like, she even went to jail.
It was. There was so much... Well, the Barbie one was cool because from a company's perspective, because all the secret stuff that they were doing behind the scenes that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
And just the people involved.
I like how they made Ken with a dick. That was the second prototype.
That was the prototype, yeah.
That was the Bomer idea. He was like, he's got to have a dick.
Look, she has boobs. Yes, yeah,
he's got to have it. Well, did you see the Barbie doll, too, where you push the arms together and the breast size grows?
Yeah, I never knew about that one.
I didn't either. That I want to buy one of those.
That would be something. That was a funny one.
That's when you start letting the guy engineers do stuff. I'm going to make her breast grow.
You know, it would be a great idea. How about having a doll whose breasts grow? Oh, yeah, Jim, that's a great idea. Okay, that one. Oh, kids would love that. Yes, kids.
And the other thing that was cool is there was like a G.I. Joe vehicle that they prototyped from an older G.I. Joe vehicle. And we have that. A matter of fact, I mean, it's in bad shape because it was my brother's. And I know where it is. It's in the attic of the garage at my mom's house. But I have the original. Not the one that was for the new G.I. Joes, but the original prototype. I forget what it was called. It was like some kind of trapper thing. It was like this huge vehicle for the G.I. Joe doll.
Oh, you reminded me. So on the cool thing about G.I. Joe is they're making so much money that they decided to make like the huge vehicles.
Yeah.
And they made the biggest one they made was the aircraft carrier,
mm-hmm.
which was like, I don't know how, 3 feet or four, maybe even more, like 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
Or 4 feet long. And I've never seen one of those, except I was at a Christmas party at my next door neighbor's house, like about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And they have one in their basement that they had in their basement since their kids were, like, they're older now. Their kids are grown, but they still have it like set up in their basement for their grandkids.
Well, that's awesome.
And I saw it. I was like, holy shit.
I've only seen those on toy shows because that one always comes up. It's in Toy Hunter. It's in comic book guys or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of the toys, the originals, because they showed up in there. I know they're staged as hell, but... They always show those toys over and over again.
That's right. What's
the
classic ones. You have no idea what you have here.
Yeah.
That we put in your house yesterday. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so that was something I watched over the break that was cool. And then the Canon one, which me and Barb actually watched that one and enjoyed it. And the funny thing is they had the same philosophy. We have to beat these people to the punch and do this. Oh, they were responsible for Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone, and they put so much money into it. You know the arm wrestling movie?
Mm-hmm.
These guys were hilarious, man.
I gotta watch that because I gotta see who thought that was a good idea. That would be the next big thing, an arm wrestling movie.
It's not a bad movie, but it's weird. It's a weird movie. Like, I remember watching that. I didn't see it at the theater, but I saw it on VHS or something.
I don't know if I've ever seen
it. It was entertaining, but it's weird. You have a guy go arm wrestle, and you're rooting for him like Rocky. Like, he's like, and it's just an arm wrestling game.
And the other cool thing is, I believe, aren't they the ones who made the Masters of the Universe movie?
Yes.
Which they talked about in the G.I. Joe documentary.
Yeah. The documentary is called Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, the Canon one?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's good.
That one's on Netflix, too. And what they're really known for, their big hit was Break-In.
Oh, did they do that?
The first one, yeah. That's what raked in so much money for them. Like, it did gangbusters. Like, that's what made them what they really...
That was their first hit?
Yeah, their huge hit. Whereas Breakin' Electric Boogaloo didn't do so well.
Hollywood Hookers didn't...
No, but I think Missing in Action did, but they released it out of order because one was more exciting than the other. So they showed the second movie before the first.
And they somehow got
and they got Death Wish, but they got
Death Wish 2.
They got Death Wish 2 and Superman 4, which I think is the worst Superman. It's not good at all. But like Superman 3, I love because of the campiness of it. Like, it's like a Silver Age love fest. Mm-hmm. It would never exist. It should have never existed, but it does, and it's. I love it for that.
Yeah, and the cool thing about watching the Canon documentary is it's all these movies that we used to see, like you said, at the video store that we didn't really know any of the history of.
Yeah, well, actually, Death Wish 2 was the first Death Wish I ever saw. And it's violent. Like, I could see why it got what it did, because I think it's the first time I've ever seen in film, like, a rape scene that was shown. Do you know what I mean? Like, most of the rape scenes I had seen up to that point were off camera. Like, you knew it was right. happening in an alley and there was stuff, but you don't actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they rape his daughter and the maid, you see it. I mean, in that Death Wish. So it's I could see why it was really controversial at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. They were pretty careless, but they try. The other thing that they say in this documentary, which when you finish seeing it, is their whole strategy, remember I told you, was trying to beat other things to the punch and trying to do stuff.
Yeah,
and
play off the popularity.
And their budgets were nowhere near, so they would lose a lot. But when this documentary was coming, the two brothers got together and did their own documentary and beat this documentary to the punch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So there's another documentary out there on these two brothers done by the two brothers that isn't called Electric Boogaloo.
Wow.
Because they found out that they were doing this documentary because these people that were creating Electric Boogaloo wanted to put them in the documentary. So they contacted the brothers.
Yeah,
and the brothers found out they were doing a documentary, and they're like, holy shit, we're going to do our own documentary.
Brothers are fascinating.
Did you get a chance to watch that movie I told you, Everly?
I did watch the movie Everly.
Oh, man.
And I went in not know. I didn't read the description or anything, and yeah. I just said, all right, I'm going to watch this movie. And I was shocked by how much I liked it.
I was shocked too. Let me tell you how I came about watching this. It was like after Christmas. I think it was the 26th or the 27th.
Let me say that again. I was shocked that I've never heard of this movie before.
I've never heard of it either. The reason I watched it was after Christmas, and they were watching a college football game, and I was like, I don't care about this. And I was asking Barb, man, you know, Netflix isn't that good for movies. Like, all the good movies I've already seen, and I can't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went and started scrolling, and I saw, I can't remember what it says. You like this, so you might like this.
Yeah, like recommended for you or something.
Yeah, and I can't remember what drove it. And it said Everly, and I was like, it has a sexy cover.
It's a stupid name, though, because you think of the Everly Brothers.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, is that Selma Hayek? And I was like, huh.
It is.
I'll click on it. And when I started watching it, I watched about 10, 15 minutes, and I fell asleep. And then I was like, not into it. I was like, okay, so they have a prostitute, and she's trapped in the room. And
well, she's trapped in the bathroom, right?
Well, it's almost like they had a gangbang with her. She went to the bathroom. She has a gun inside of the toilet tank and a phone. And she locks the bathroom door, and she's calling a cop that was supposed to help her get out. Later, you learn she was trapped there for 3 years, and she finally got tired of it. And she grabs the gun, and then from that point on, it's just a bloodbath. It's like a John Wick movie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is. It's basically a female John Wick trapped in an apartment, and yeah. People keep coming to kill her, and she,
including her friends, because he puts a bounty on her with all the prostitutes that are in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then her and then she finds out that this guy knows where her mother and daughter are, so she has to call him and say, get out of the house, and I have money for you, but you need to come over here. And right, then it gets crazy. And then they even have a guy that does Chinese torture. That's insane.
Oh yeah, that guy was crazy. Wait. He doesn't. Yeah, he does crazy torture with like chemicals and stuff.
He like puts you in a cage, like a body cage, so you can't move.
And then he burns you with acid.
You can move
stuff.
Your neck, and then he pulls out like a kit with a bunch of acids, and he just pours them in your eyeballs. Like the first one is just like he pours Visine, but he like psychs her out because he like says this is battery acid, this is that. And then he says, open your eyes, and he drops it into her eyes, and she's like, ah! And it's really just Visine, and he goes,
psychological torture.
Yeah, I'm warming you up.
But, yeah, the level of, so if you like gunplay, like, the first, like, half of the movie is, like, gunplay.
Yeah.
He'll get shot left and right. And I don't want to spoil stuff, but the one dude who, Asian guy on the sofa, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is, because he turns his mind. He said it's almost like he was being manipulated too to do bad things because of that guy. And he says, you think I want to do this? You think I'm here for that? And not he did some good things, because she finds out later what why the cop never got a hold of her. They deliver the cop's head in a box. And his little girl, it's in a present box, and the little girl is going to open the box, and that one guy that's shot and dying stops her. He's like, Everly! Everly!
That was good. But yeah, that was surprisingly good.
And that guy's interesting, too, because all his acting is from the neck up, because he's paralyzed.
Yeah, he's just laying there on the couch with a blanket over him.
Wherever he's shot, he can't move anything. He can't move nothing. So it's pretty. It was a shockingly surprising surprise for me.
Yeah, and I like movies. Well, I know. So they do movies like that because they're cheaper, where it's just like limited locations. Because in this movie, it's like they have her apartment, the hallway, and then like the front lobby are pretty much the only locations in the whole movie, and primarily it just takes place in that one room.
Yeah,
but. So I understand they do that for monetary reasons, but they manage to tell such a complete story just within that one, the confines of that building. I love it when they do that.
I love this. Pull it off like that. There's one scene in there I loved. Okay, this is when they're all the guys in the black suits are coming up the elevator, and she's got the shotgun, and she just blasts that first guy coming out the door, and he like. Because his whole body, like, because of the narrow entry, he, like, blocks the passageway, and then she throws the hand grenade into the elevator. And it kind of just makes this blood, like, everything just blew up.
Boom, yeah.
Boom.
Did the door close?
And then they had that gimp dude, like the Pulp Fiction gimp dude. He the guy who tortures people brought this guy in, and you think, well, why is he torturing this guy? Well, he like trained this guy to be like a monster.
Yeah, that guy was
crazy. He loved the torture. He's like, torture me some more, master. And then he'd like let him go from the cage, and he put like 7 bullets in him, and he's still functioning. He's like, that's insane.
Yes, so I recommend that one as well. I'm glad I watched that one. Even though I had no idea going in. They should have had a better title for it, though. I think they screwed up on the title.
Yeah.
Nothing about the title implies that the violence fest that you're about to watch.
Well, it doesn't imply anything.
Right.
The title, I mean, even the cover is her in a red dress, right? I mean,
I think it's going to be a story of a woman.
Or a call girl or something. I don't know what it... Yeah. You'd have to read the description. If you just saw the movie poster, you wouldn't have a clue what it is.
And even the description, because it'd probably be like, a call girl seeks revenge on her...
And that story's been done to death, right? The call girl that gets revenge on the pimp?
Right.
Or something like that? Matter of fact, that's probably the hooker, Happy Hooker, right? That from Cannon
Probably.
<Films.
laughs> I believe it is. Yeah.
So it's those films.
This is more a woman trapped in her apartment has to fight her way out while getting attacked by Everything. Because you got people with guns, you got sadistic torturers.
Yeah.
You got military guys with cannons, rocket launchers.
And the thing is the police were corrupt.
Police. Prostitutes.
Yeah, it was like a hot mess, but it was awesome. What was the other movie that we had to watch? I can't remember. You asked me to watch something, and I said, make sure you watch Everly. Do you remember what it was?
I don't. Was it? I know we were going to talk about Bright. I don't remember if that was the one.
Oh, Bright was it. Yeah, we're going to talk about Bright. Bright was the other movie I watched.
Now, Bright surprises me.
It surprised me for something different than probably did you.
It surprises me that it's getting such shitty reviews.
That's what surprised me. That's what shocked me.
It's getting panned. And I watched it not knowing anything about it. It just said, Bright. I think I read the description. And I think I probably saw that it was written by Max Landis.
Yeah.
And I like his writing. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch this. And then later I looked at the reviews and it's getting panned. And I was like.
Bad pan too. Like it's not even. It's like this is the worst fucking movie ever.
Like, did I see a different movie than them?
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, to me, it felt like an Alien Nation cop buddy film. You know, like, I was like, this is awesome. And it did it differently. Like, Alien Nation's with aliens. This is with, like, fantasy things like orcs.
Right,
and
orcs and
little fairies and all kinds of weird
elves.
Shit. Elves. I liked it a lot. I really
did. I loved it.
I watched that one over the break, too.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I'm not sure. I guess I kind of want to watch it again to see why people didn't like it, because I thought it was great. I thought nothing bad about it after the first time I saw it, other than that was awesome.
Yeah, I had a great time. I mean, I was entertained.
Exciting.
I wasn't thinking about anything. I was engrossed in the movie. It was cool, and the one thing I will say is we've seen the template before, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say
like a buddy cop where one guy.
There's a lot of tropes.
Like a racist type thing towards one cop, and then he's trying to fit in with a cop and wants to do what's right, and nobody in the force will accept him. Like we've seen that.
And I think the Will Smith character is like close to like retirement or something.
Yeah, he was doing like the Lethal Weapon thing, and
yeah.
I just have 1 year left, and I gotta make it. And he's got the daughter and the wife, and yeah, it's a well written film for something that we've seen before in various
forms. Yeah, he definitely incorporates Alienation
is very similar.
Tropes.
Like if you've seen Alienation,
I used to love that show.
Yeah. So, but I think that's why we liked it is because we liked Alienation, and this fell into that template, you know.
Yeah. The underdog race who's trying to prove themselves in the human world. Yeah.
And there's magic and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's what's driving
the whole movie. It's action packed. Like from the start, they're like on the run.
Yeah.
And it's them against the world, basically. And they're trying to run this mission. So.
Yeah.
That was great. The action was fantastic. The characters were great.
Will Smith was Will Smith.
Will Smith was totally Will Smith.
What more can you ask for?
Funny lines. And I think it was. I think Vicious said something about like one of the lines. Remember when they're in the strip bar and he's like, "I don't want to get killed in a titty bar shootout or whatever."
Yeah, a titty shootout. That was so good. That was like a Tarantino line. That was a Tarantino line.
And you could tell the character was saying it like tongue in cheek. So I don't know why. Like, I think people like didn't understand the humor. Maybe I don't know.
I don't get it.
I laughed from that line when you said that line. It was funny.
So, yeah, I thought so too. Maybe our minds are in the gutter. We read Boundless comics.
We've made similar jokes on this show, I think. It was. I loved it. I'm excited they're making another one. The only unfortunate part is it turns out that Max Landis is a big asshole, but
yeah.
I think he's not on the second one or not writing the second one.
Well, he's in that whole shenanigans of what do you call it now, right?
Can't keep it in your pants, I think
can't
it's called.
Can't keep it in your pants. Harassment, sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Using your
power to
harass women.
It's unfortunate because I like his writing.
So do I. I like his comics. I liked his Superman, and then he did the Green Valley, and
it's like,
his movies have been pretty good. I've enjoyed. I have not gone to one of his movies and said I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that Green Valley was great.
I didn't finish it, but
did that come out in trade yet? I have to read that.
Did you got the Do first issue and liked it. I know that.
I'm gonna look it up. We should read that for next show.
We can.
Make sure.
Look up the Milestone Forever, and I found out I read it, and I couldn't find it. Like, I already had read it. It's already in my, like, I read it and ranked it. But it was, like, prior to me. Now when I read a book, I'll put, like, a sentence or two to tell me, so it helps refresh my memory what it was.
Yeah,
and that was prior to me doing that when I read Milestone Forever, so I didn't even mention it.
Yeah, so, I found Milestone Forever Volume 2, but I can't find Volume 1.
Wow.
Damn it. I have it. What am I searching for? Oh, green.
Green Valley.
Green Hornet. No. Green, where is it? Green Valley. I don't see the trade.
Huh.
Maybe I didn't order it. What? I'm stupid. I'll have to do some research.
I know the trade's out already. I know that.
Maybe I got it from Amazon.
But,
So, yes, I liked whatever that movie was called, Bright.
Yeah, I thought there was one other movie that we watched on Netflix, too, and I can't remember what it is. God damn it. I know what we were supposed to watch, but you failed me.
I watched the first episode.
Of what?
Quarry?
Yeah.
I watched the first episode.
Oh, good. Because you watched, I mean, Corey, you learn a lot about him. So, like, I'm already on episode 7 of Corey. I have to say, Bill, I love this. Like, I fucking love it. Like, I think that whoever put together this thing, like, did such a good job of captivating the time. Like, just in clothing and cars and
it totally feels like
my god, he owned that car that Mac owns. I mean, his name isn't in Quarry, it's Mac, or his name isn't even Mac, that's his nickname, they call him Mac, everybody calls him Mac, but he owns a Maverick. And I had the exact same car.
All right.
except it was bright yellow, his is blue. And I swear it was a V8. That car had balls. It had more balls than any other car I've ever had. Like, when you stepped on the gas, that thing just, you'd haul ass. I've never had a car with that much horsepower as my Maverick. I love that show. Like, that, the actors that are in it are phenomenal. And the one thing that you'll find is, man, does the guy who plays the broker, he's fascinating. Like, I am so into, like, his motivations and, like, what he says. There's certain quotes and stuff that he uses that I'm like fascinated by this guy. That I ordered the first novel. I'm gonna read a book.
I thought you already had the first novel.
No, I ordered Quarry like.
Oh, like a later one.
Like a later one, and it's there's still, like it still hasn't come in.
There's like 15 or so.
Well, it's the novels. Only way I'm gonna get Quarry anymore. Like I was like after I saw Quarry, I went and Googled. I was like Max Allan Collins TV movies. Like I was trying to figure out like what he's done. Road to Perdition was the thing that comes up as number one with Tom Hanks, but I wanted more.
Well, I think I thought we found it on the show, like while we were recording.
Yeah, we found this on the show, and yeah. luckily we should backtrack.
So our first exposure to Quarry was. I don't know if it was last episode or a couple episodes ago where we talked about Quarry's War Number One.
Last episode, yeah.
Yeah, which is a comic from Titan, which is, I believe, a new Quarry story by Max Allan Collins. And we loved the shit out of it. So we researched, and we knew about the novels because you had ordered some of the novels in the past but haven't got them yet.
Yeah, and I went through Amazon the second time, so I know I'm not going to have to wait for Diamond to get a novel. I'm going to just go
get it. Yeah, it's better to get the novels.
Because I want to very seldom is there a property that I love so much that I have to seek out more. You know what I mean?
So what is it about this property that has grabbed you so much?
Well, the whole hard case line has grabbed me in general because it even made me watch the Michelle Rodriguez movie. Do you remember that?
That's what I need to watch.
No, but like I was so engrossed with the comic that I had to read the assignment. I had to go watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the same thing with this, except it was very different. Okay, with the way the assignment was, I read the comic, absolutely loved it. I watched the movie and I was disappointed. This one is different. I read the comic, loved it. I watched the TV show and I loved it even more. Like I was like, this is better than the comic. Holy shit! And the thing I like that you don't necessarily see in the comic, and I don't know if I'm not so sure like where I am in Quarry's world, where we are in the comic book Quarry's War. I just know it gave us some of the back story.
Yeah, Quarry's War, because there's two stories going on. The one, there's the war story, which is obviously an early story, but then the one with the mob guy, that's later sometime in his career. We don't know. I don't know where exactly that. I mean, it seems like that one's like later when he's established as a hitman.
It reads really weird too, because if you watch the TV show, they introduce the gay guy in the comic book.
Yeah.
And the relationship is not quite what it is in the TV show. In the TV show, it's much deeper. Like if it happens afterwards, it seems like the depth of their relationship is much deeper.
Now, in the comic, was he the guy who was doing the stakeout?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that is different because it almost seemed like they didn't really know each other.
Yeah.
Comic.
So it was very different from that perspective.
But I mean, that's what happens when you take a property and put it in a different media. You retool it. So that must be a change they made for the show.
And that's what I'm gonna see what the book's about. Like, yeah. I'll be able to read the book and then tell you what the difference is between the comic book, the TV show, and that. But, oh my god, it's good. Like, you get the tension at the airport. Like, it is not a happy TV show. Let me just say that.
In the first episode, that's where Quarry and his buddy, I can't remember his name, they're coming back from
Vietnam,
and it's Quarry's second tour of Vietnam.
And not only that, but they were involved in a controversy that was broadcast in the news.
Right, there was some killing that, and they were actually, like, there was a military trial or something for it, but they were. I don't know if there was a trial, but they were cleared of.
It sounded like there investigation, were. They were on trial, and they were cleared of the investigation. But the people
yeah, the
don't
public,
see that. The media,
public still blame them for for it. And I don't know what happened, but I'm guessing that some probably some village or something got blown up, and a bunch of kids got killed.
But these guys come back from Vietnam. They just want to get on with their lives. They're assaulted at the airport. There's people waiting for them to come out. They're assaulted. They get back. Nobody wants to give them a job. Like, the one guy gets back. He was a manager, and then he gets demoted back to the floor. He's making very little money. Corey can't even find a job. And he can't get a job with his father. His father doesn't even want him to go to the house anymore. It's just awful. And that's when the broker comes in. The broker knows that he could take advantage of the situation. He says, shit, I got these killers that
right,
are
professional killers.
These professional trained killers that are snipers, and I could use them for what I do. And he knows that. He throws all this money. Here's $30,000. You come work for me in a shaving kit. He gives it to Corey while he's in his pool. He just shows up one day, and he's like, I know you can't find a job. I'll give you this job. This is what you're going to do. And Corey's like, fuck you, you know? Get the fuck out of my house, you know? Get out of here. I don't want to do this. I want to live a normal life. And his friend, his best friend, takes the job. Mm-hmm. So
it takes him up on the offer.
That's when things – and I don't remember – you'll have to tell me what happens at the end of – one, so I don't spoil anything beyond that, because I don't want to. I'm way ahead of you. I'm on episode 7. It's only 8 episodes. All I'm gonna say is, Bill, if you loved the first one, you're gonna fucking love the rest, because it delves into this structure of who the broker and his people are. Like, you learn these people.
Okay.
You learn about the gay guy.
I do like. So is that guy good. Buddy? Was that his name?
Yeah, Buddy.
Yeah, I like Buddy.
In the comic book, I got the impression that he would just spot. Like, he was the guy that wrote down the information.
Right.
In the TV show, he's a fucking badass. He's a fucking killer, just like the other guys.
But I mean,
guys.
We're basing that on one issue where that was his role in that issue.
Yeah.
So he could be
they do
more
say
than that.
In the TV show, it's always a two-man job.
Yeah.
Wait.
So there's always a spotter.
My God, when you get to episode 5 and 6, your mind is going to be fucking blown, man. It's going to be blown. I swear.
I think the broker's kind of a dick, though, because he, like, hires these dudes and, like, doesn't really provide them with any training or anything and just kind of...
But...
Because he gave the one guy just the name and... Go kill this guy.
No, wait till they flush him out, Bill. There's more to this guy. When you get to episode 5 and 6, or 4, 5, and 6, you're gonna be like, holy fuck, I like the broker. but the way they do it is, you don't know if he's doing it to manipulate Mac. You don't know. So like,
I'm get Mac on his side.
I'm fucking so vested in this character, and I'm pretty much sure what I'm believing, I think they're either manipulating me to believe, or he really is a good guy. Like, he's not a good guy, but he's a guy that you root for. And you'll see it. There's something key in 6 that will... It's done through quotes. It's done from him talking on the bench and just to Mac, and just pay attention to that stuff, because this broker guy is a deep character. Oh my God, the actor is amazing. Wait till you see how they like do stuff, how everything functions. It's fascinating. it's fascinating, the world that they built. And I don't know how fucking Hollywood does this shit. Like, it just always blows my mind how they are able to have so many scenes. Like, this is not like Everly filmed in one room that you can make one room look like that. This has many locations, and the fact that they're able to get all the backgrounds and all the foreground and all the albums, like, heavily musically influenced. Like, if there's a soundtrack for this, I'm gonna buy it. Like, I'm gonna be all over it. I know I could try to assemble it myself, but I don't want to. That's too much work.
I'm guessing there isn't one.
Yeah. But I love the music. So, yeah. Oh, Bill, I gotta catch up. So we could talk about it, especially when you get to 4, 5, and 6. Holy crap.
I think, was there only 8 episodes?
Yeah. I'm halfway through 7. I've been doing it. That's taken over my elliptical time. And I've been doing the elliptical twice a day, so I've been finishing an episode a day, maybe 2 episodes a day.
Yeah, because the first one was like an hour and 15 minutes, I think.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I want to point out to you, I think you're watching this on DVD. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched it on Cinemax On Demand because I have Cinemax. And after the episode, there is director commentary. I don't know if your DVD has it or not, but there's 5 minutes of director commentary about the episode. And then they show a hidden scene, and it's like, holy fuck, why are they doing that? Like, a cutout scene. And the cutout scene has something big in it. Like, it's important.
Oh, really?
I think it's important to the story. Like, I could see why they cut it out, but it adds more to it.
Well, and they must have known that. Because they added it back, like they included it. So
yeah.
It's like, didn't really work for the episode, but it's information you need. So here it is.
And I skipped it on the first 4 episodes. I'm like, I don't need to hear the commentary. I watched the first one and I'm like, I don't need to. And then one time by accident, I think it was on episode 4 or 5, I was on the elliptical. I had no controller, so I just let it run. You know, I couldn't speed forward. I let it run, and I was like, holy shit, that wasn't in the episode. And then I watched the next one, and I'm like, holy shit, that wasn't in the episode. What's going on here? Yeah, that's so good.
I'm sure they're on there. I'll have to.
You might get it, like, as a director commentary at the back.
Yeah,
the
special features.
All one scene instead of, like, at the end of each episode.
Oh, is it the same scene?
No, they're different scenes. In other words, on Cinemax, they had the episode, right? And then the director would come and say, here's what I was doing for this scene. I was trying to get Mac to look like this. I was trying to get the broker to do this. The situation is this. And then he says, I filmed this angle because I want... I mean, there's some crazy things that happen with him and Buddy. Like, your mind's going to be blown. But the way they film it sometimes is from POV perspective, except it's like a POV not from Mac's eyes, but it's a POV like if you were in Mac's car and you're in the back seat. They do some interesting things.
Yeah.
They do some interesting
it's like
things.
Like a ride along.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of interesting reading the comic book and this TV show. Because the comic book is, like, before, so during the war, and after when he's more established. And this book, or the TV show, is, like, right after he got back from the war. So you're reading, like, the in-between of the two stories that are in the comic book.
Yeah. But, like, I didn't even know, like, I didn't know about his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how episode 1 ends, or sort of ends?
You find out about the wife.
Do you really? Like, what do you find out about her?
Well, you find out that she's cheating on him.
Holy fuck! So you've seen that? I thought that was episode 2.
No, that was in the first one, and he gets his revenge.
That's when you think the broker is fucking awful, because his first hit is on the guy she's fucking.
Yeah.
Holy well, yeah, shit!
He asked the broker, like, you knew, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, of course I knew.
I'm like, holy crap, what a way to get a guy to work for you, you know?
Yep, that's how he got him on his team.
He gives him a picture. This is the guy I want you to kill. He follows him. He says, you have to figure out a good time to kill. He follows him, and he's like, holy fuck, he's driving into my driveway. What the fuck is going on? Oh my god. You're in for a treat. That's all I have to say.
That episode ends, I don't remember the exact moment it ends, but near the end anyway, if not the end. It's perfect because, well, okay, so this is spoiling, but this show came out a few years ago, so they set it up by he's looking for a record, like one of his favorite records. He can't find it in his record collection. He's like asking his wife, where the hell's my record? You know, it's my favorite. Was it Otis Redding record?
Yeah, Otis Redding.
And he's like, where's my Otis Redding record? I can't find it. And she's like, you've been gone for 2 years. You know, I moved stuff around. Sorry. And he's like getting all pissed off. He can't find this record. And he ends up finding the record with the dude who's cheating on, sleeping with his wife.
While he's working on the car, listening to his record.
Yeah, he's listening to the record. So then Corey goes back to his house with the record and puts it on and is playing it and goes out for a swim. So his wife comes home and hears the record playing.
Oh, and did you hear the lyrics to the record? It's totally about cheating and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, you cheat on me or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, holy crap.
And he's swimming in the pool and she's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like... the way she acts is like, does he know? Does he not know? Did he find the record somewhere? Like,
yeah, did he buy a new one? Or
I got the impression she didn't really know that guy took the record, or she may have known he took the record.
She knew,
or,
yeah.
You think she knew?
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression because she kept on. She still has this naiveness about her. Like, she didn't run out of the house saying, "Holy fuck, he knows." Man, this is so good. That episode one had a lot of stuff in it. Like, holy moly.
Yeah, it was a good first episode.
It actually makes me love the comic book more because it adds more dimensions to the character.
Yeah, you understand the character more. But that's why
look more clean cut, though. Like, in the comic book, he's more clean cut. And this one, he's like scruffy 70s.
Well,
like,
yeah, that's because...
long hair, mustache.
Right, because that's just when he got back from the war. In the comic, it could be, who knows, the 80s or the 90s.
Yeah,
but
could be.
It's like later, so.
Yeah.
But the comic is cool because I don't know if in the books, I'm sure they have, but I'm curious to see, like, the war story, like, the story of him in the war. So that part of the story I'm really interested in delving into.
I don't think we're going to get that in the TV show because I'm already 7 episodes in and...
No, it won't be in the TV show.
I don't know how they're going to... The only thing that makes me angry is how could people have not, like, glamored for this? Like, I know it's, like, depressing. Like, it's really... It's tough. It's a life that nobody would want to live.
Yeah.
But it's so well done and crafted that I don't know how you could not be engrossed in it. Like, I don't know why it wasn't renewed. It breaks my heart because it's so good. This should be like The Sopranos. That's what it should be.
And I don't know if it was just because it was on Cinemax. Like, I don't know if does Cinemax have a bunch of popular shows or any other popular shows?
Well, they have The Outcast. Which is Robert Kirkman's other. They have other TV, but it doesn't draw like Game of Thrones popular. Do you know what I mean?
Like, right, it's not like an HBO show.
Yeah, it's not an HBO show.
Because I don't think Cinemax has the numbers of an HBO. But you figure, and I don't know how Cinemax gauges whether they want to renew a show or not. But yeah, it's unfortunate. I guess just on how many people view it. I guess there just wasn't enough viewers. Well, they did a good job on it. It looks awesome.
I'm glad you're at least watching it because I have somebody to talk to. Because, like, I'll sit there and I'll talk to Barb about it, but she doesn't get it. Like, she looks at me with a glaze,
like,
because I'm excited. I'm trying to say, look what happened! And she's looking at me like, well, she always laughs at me because I call him Query instead of Corey.
Query.
Like, I'm going to write a SQL query.
Yeah.
I keep saying it like that, Query. And she says, no, it's Query. Matter of fact, I was doing a Mike M's Weekly Reads. And I try to do those when she's not here because she looks at me goofy because I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
But so like I knew she was working late and I was like, I'm going to do a quick Mike M's. And then I got into like this. I'm pretty good at talking to myself, Bill. I sit there and I could stream thoughts because it's like a diary, you know, like if you were to write.
Yes. Dear
diary. I'm doing it vocally. And she comes in and she hears me saying Query. And she says, damn it, Mike, it's Query. It's Query. It's not like you're asking a question. Are you asking a query? It's Query. And you know why he's called Query in episode one, right? Don't they meet?
Yeah,
in
they show.
They meet
in
a quarry.
Yeah, and the broker gives him the name.
And that's when he kind of, I think he pulls the gun on the broker, doesn't he? In the quarry.
Yeah, he does.
And the other guy's interesting too. I don't remember his name. The guy with the tan leather jacket.
Oh, the broker's bodyguard.
Yeah, the bodyguard. They flesh him out too. He's fascinating himself. They pay him as much attention to Buddy as they do him. And he has a key back. What do you call it? A cut scene. That's mm-hmm. pretty. I think it's important. I told Barb it was important. So it must have been important. I sat there and talked to her. She's my springboard. Like, I tell her stuff, and sometimes she doesn't look at it. Like, she listens, but she doesn't, like, she knows I'm excited about it, but she can't contribute.
So she's the, she's kind of the producer of your podcasts where present your ideas to her, and if she okays it, then it makes it on the podcasts.
No, she doesn't do that.
If she doesn't like it, then it gets.
I'm going to do it anyway. But, Query on the TV.
Credit where credit is due.
Really good. Really good.
Yeah, I'll watch the rest of those.
Because you're the only one. I know one other guy that podcast that has watched it already that I could talk to about it. But there's not too many people I could talk to about it. And it's like I get frustrated when there's something that excites me so much and I can't talk about it.
No one has seen it.
So that's when I beat Barb to death. I'm like, Barb! Can't believe I get off the elliptical. It usually happens in the morning, right before work. She's getting ready and I'm like, you won't believe what happened. So, yeah, I get excited about it. Is there anything else that we watched that you want to mention?
We did watch, or at least I watched the first two episodes of The End of the Fucking World.
I watched the first
based
one.
Based on the Charles Forsman book of the same name. Well, and this is one.
You know what I'm... Can I just make a general statement?
Yes.
I don't know how much more you've read than I've read. Okay, I've read Ravager. I've read
Revenger.
Revenger. Okay, sorry, Revenger. I've read the Slasher.
Slasher.
I've read the what was the other trade called?
I don't remember. And I should, because we're supposed to talk about it.
Let me see. I write it down. It shouldn't be that long ago. I read it before Christmas.
I need to grab it. It's yellow. That's all I know.
I'm not going to be able to find it now. Maybe I didn't even write it down. I didn't write it down. God damn it.
It's called I Am... I'm joking. I am not okay with this.
Okay, I'm not okay with this. Okay, this is just an assessment. It could be false, it could be true or not true. But I get the impression that as a youth or he led a very depressed life and was close to suicide. I get that impression of him by reading all his material. And I'm talking all of it. Because
it's possible. There is
I'm getting similar underlying tones.
Depressive tones.
Yeah, like really dark, dark tones.
Well,
in all of his work. Okay, so I've read it. I haven't read The End of the Fucking World, but it has the same themes that the other one does. I am not whatever.
Certainly all of his work has to do with kids who feel like outsiders in the world and like they don't fit in for one reason or another. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case with him. And some of this is based on his life.
Because you get similar themes in I Am Not Okay With This, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I gotta grab it because
this was a girl that was a loner.
She's
confused about her sexuality. Like, she's having sex with a guy, she's having sex with a girl, and she has a power to, like, she has, like, a meta-human power to, like, probe the brain and actually cause it to explode, if possible.
Well, she finds out that she can, like, if she doesn't like someone and she concentrates, she can, like, give them a bad headache, or, yeah. Well, basically, like, give them such a bad headache that they fall to the ground in pain.
Yeah. That has a really dark ending. Do you remember
that's
the
very
ending?
Dark book. Yeah, that's dark. It was good, though. I liked it. It was a good story.
Holy moly, is that dark. And it has, like, real subtle things that reminded me of, like, Wet Moon. Like, disgusting things. Like, you know, Wet Moon opened up like in the dormitory of a bathroom or something. and like in this one, she's like popping pimples on her legs or something like that. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yes, it's unabashed look at life.
Do you remember when we talked to him?
Yeah, at Heroes, we talked to him for a while.
And it was weird because the way it came about is Campbell was saying, you should talk to him about this or something like that, because he knew we were reading Slasher. And Charles...
Well, we went because I needed to get, like... That's when I decided to get single issues of Slasher. Like, But I never ordered number two, so I was picking up number two from him.
Yeah. But it was also, he even told me, like Charles said, I thought you were joking because I thought you were being sarcastic. And I said, no, I'm a fan. I'm really a fan. He thought I was making fun of him initially.
What did you say initially? I don't remember.
I don't remember what I said, but I like keyed off of something Campbell said. And he thought I was making fun of him, and I wasn't. I said, no. I really am a fan. I am reading Slasher. I think he thought initially I was being a dick, but I wasn't.
I made a comment
about Slasher. Because Campbell asked me, tell me about it or something, and I said it. And I don't know if it was the tone I said it in or whatever, but he took it like, what the fuck? And I said, no. I love it. I think it's a great like indie film type film. But we're talking about, so we're kludging everything together right now. Slasher, I'm Not Okay With This, and End of the Fucking World. You actually read The End of the Fucking World.
Yes, I have.
I started watching it, and I don't know if it was the mood I was in, but I couldn't continue. I might go back to
it. That's crazy. I thought it was fantastic.
His underlying themes about what these kids are starting to get to me. They're starting to get to me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's because it's bad. I'm just seeing I'm seeing a really dark theme in everything.
Yeah.
And it's
it might be too much. Yeah, too much.
It's
too fast.
Too much. Too fast.
You need a cleanser.
And I had just read the other one. You know, I am not okay with this. And that one ends traumatic. I mean, right. At least I think it does.
It does. Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it, but
That one's pretty sad because the poor girl, like, all of her problems, and then she has this weird power that she can't understand her place in life.
Yeah.
So I can see that. And then, yeah, so the end of the fucking world is, it's basically this about a psycho, the two kids in high school, the dude who's a psychopath and likes killing animals and has dreams of killing people.
And that's already why I have a problem too, because you could kill all the people you want, but you start killing animals and I start having a problem.
I don't think he's killing like domestic animals, because he was just killing like stuff in the forest.
He killed a cat.
Oh yeah, a wild cat though.
No, it wasn't a wild cat. It was his neighbor's cat.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, these are not good people by any stretch of the imagination. Well, the dude isn't. I mean, the dude is a straight up psychopath. Like without a doubt, unabashedly, he's a psychopath.
And she's pretty bad too. This is like the Bonnie and Clyde of psychos. At least that's the impression.
Yeah,
I got.
Pretty much. And she's a little more complex than he is. I mean, he's just a straight up sociopath.
He wants to kill people. Like he
wants to
like,
kill her. That's the reason.
Yeah, his motive is I'm working my way up. Like I start with these animals.
He starts eating her not because he is interested in her, because he is not interested in sex at all. But he just wants to get close to her so he can kill her.
And then she seems like a nympho, at least from episode one. She's like, I'm going to come over tomorrow at 11 and you're going to eat my pussy. And he's like, okay. But all he can think about is, I got this knife back at the couch. And when she comes in, how am I going to position myself to eat her pussy and stab her at the same time?
Hey, it's like... Should her head be back or should it be forward?
Yeah, I was like, should I wait until she closes her eyes
angle.
And I'm gonna, and this guy has like I don't even think he cares it's about sex. I think he's asexual.
He doesn't. Yeah, he's completely
like, I don't
asexual.
Think he had a boner because like even when he's making out with her, she's like already got her top off and she's like putting her hand wherever his dick is but she's like fascinated with this guy because he's not like your typical guy. Like she's like, I want to find out more about him because I hate my life. I hate everybody around me. I hate cell phones. This guy is different. Like he's got something else going for him. He eats by himself. When they kiss at first, he like doesn't know what the fuck. Like that's like the most awkward kiss. I've ever seen in a film. I mean, it's similar to what I did. When I didn't know how to kiss, because all I knew is that the tongue had to go in. That's all I knew. I had to go.
That was your first move.
Well, I knew the tongue had to go in, but I didn't know how fast I had to move it. Like, I was pretty aggressive.
How long
with,
keep it in?
No, I was pretty aggressive. You know, I was like, the tongue was moving around like a flash. If I was Wally West or something like that,
you're like licking all the
yeah. I was like, I think I felt everything. You know, I was like, ah.
Like you might want to have the second molar on the left checked. It seemed a little loose.
It didn't even feel right though. Like I knew I was fucking up. You know, I didn't. Like right. I was like, that can't be right. Like you can't be like moving your tongue around like Wally West and trying to hit the cosmic treadmill and go back in time or something. I knew it was wrong. That's kind of like what this kiss was, except even more awkward.
What's
like
more awkward is
because
he doesn't care.
He keeps his mouth closed. He doesn't care. He's like mushing his face against hers. And
he just wants to kiss her because he wants to get close to her.
To kill
he wants
her.
He wants to be here, his boy or her boyfriend, so he can kill her. And then, well, the other interesting thing about him is he'll do whatever people say. Like he doesn't care. So she can basically lead him around, tell him what to do.
And she does. She's like, punch like, your dad in the fucking face. Yeah, we gotta steal
your dad's car. Okay.
His father seems like it's an okay father, but he's very jokey, and I don't know, he seems okay normally. He doesn't have a mother. She has a mother that's fucking some other younger guy that seems sexually attracted to her.
Yeah.
And
her mother has a couple of babies or little kids, and she kind of written off the daughter from the previous marriage.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. But, I think it's a good adaptation.
It's a little different because it looks like she could fit into a clique, but she doesn't want to. Like, if she wanted to, she could. It just gets her sick that they exist. Mm-hmm. And his is different. He could never fit into a clique. He's a loner because he just doesn't know how to be social. He doesn't understand it.
He
doesn't even have any interest in it.
Yeah, he's not sitting there wishing he could be at the popular table. He doesn't care. He just wants to eat his lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Be left alone and figure out who he was going to kill. And dream about killing everyone.
I can't wait. I am going to finish watching it. And they're short episodes. It was almost like 18 minutes.
Yeah, it was quite short.
But I hope it doesn't have similar ends to Slasher, and I'm not okay with this because it's a similar theme.
Yeah. Well, I know how the comic ends, but I'm not sure how they're going to end the TV show. I assume the same way. That'll be, I think after I finish watching the show, I'll go back and read the comic again just to see what changes they made. It's been a while since I read the book, so.
Yeah. Well, you finished Slasher, right?
I did finish Slasher.
What did you think of the ending?
I gotta remember how it ended. Let me pull it out here.
It ended at the top of her house.
Let me whip it out. Oh, that's right.
And she pretty much guts herself like a fish and lets all her intestines and shit slide out.
That's right. Yeah, it was weird because, like, the climax was really in the fourth issue, and then this was kind of the aftermath of that.
Yeah, I thought the penultimate issue was the best because it flipped everything, and this is like, okay, I dealt with that weird shit that just happened, and this is the ending.
Yeah, this is the aftermath of that.
Because if I remember correctly, and I read this like way before you did, because you get monthly shipment and I get weekly, and I read it like right when it came out. And what I remember is her being on top of the house, and the cops were down.
Yeah, the cops figure out who she is.
They were at the bottom. They figured out what was going on, and she has the knife with her. She didn't kill her mom, though, right? Her mom was still in the house, right? I can't remember.
I don't think she did. No, she didn't.
So she just went to the roof, and she's in her gimp outfit, which is leather and has zippers in the mouth and the eyes.
She's so broken up about what happened to her boyfriend.
Yeah, because she loved him. She know that came out of nowhere, though, because they sort of like built the relationship in 1 through 3, and then he was just dead, and it had to do with two dudes that
right. It was just like a random thing.
They weren't even in the fucking story at all. They just
They're
two fucking crazy fuckers that are out in the middle of nowhere in a house that somehow killed her boyfriend. So who knows what it would have led to, like another Bonnie.
Oh, if that hadn't happened,
I mean, if you look at the theme of this and the other one, it's very similar because it's like a Bonnie and Clyde of psychopaths.
It's just
inverted. She's the psychopath that just wants to kill people.
Yeah.
So tell me that the themes are not similar.
No, it is. I'm not saying that it's not.
Yeah.
Just the characters are different, though.
The only book that he's written that is different to me, that is more in the normal realm, I guess, is the Ravager, or I can never say it. Is it Ravager or Revenger?
Revenger.
Revenger.
Yeah, Revenger is a completely different. She's not a, well, she's a psychopath.
No, that's it's more like a Punisher type. Like, call me if you have problems and I'll try to resolve your problems, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 1-800-REVENGER or whatever.
1-800-REVENGER. He looks like a dark guy. Like, he looks very emo to me. Even, I only met him once, but...
Oh, Charles?
He doesn't look like a ray of sunshine, that's for sure.
he definitely does not write Ray of Sunshine books. That is true.
I would like to buy him a beer and talk to him and see how much more I could learn about him.
Without
making him feel uncomfortable, of course.
So,
well, he might murder me if he felt uncomfortable. He might grab a knife at the bar and kill me.
Yeah, first make sure there's no weapons around.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you reaching for? What? I will finish watching that. I only watched the first one because you said you were going to watch it. And I was glad that it was 20 minutes because that's all I had time for.
I watched the first two.
I know. I watched.
I stayed on the treadmill longer so I could finish the second one.
I didn't watch it on the treadmill. I watched it with Barb, and I don't know if she, I don't know what she thought. Her head was in her iPad most of the time. So
figures.
I don't know. I don't know if she what she thought of it. I'm going to have to ask her. I didn't know what I thought of it. I had mixed feelings. And I think it's because I had mixed feelings because I just read this stuff so close together. Like,
right, I could see that.
I'm like, is he repeating themes? Like, there's always a psycho and there's always another character that is non-social. And I don't know. The art style, he changes a lot. That does change. The themes are similar. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I Am Not Okay was written more in his original style.
Yeah.
And then Slasher is more in the Revenger style. But he definitely has two kind of different styles that he uses.
I did see another film. And you probably won't watch this until it comes out on DVD, I'm sure. It's called The Shape of Water.
Ah, yes, I have that on hold at the library.
It is a Guillermo del Toro film. It's kind of like artistically, I'll say the film is a masterpiece. But plot-wise, it's very Beauty and the Beast. It's the same theme. So, like, I wasn't, like, blown out of the way because of the story, but I was entertained much like Bright. Like, I've seen this before. What stood out to me is the set designs, the way things were put together, the acting. Like, I thought she was phenomenal. The guy who played the villain, if you will, the General Zod guy. He's a good villain. And her best friend was really good. Like, the acting was amazing, but the plot is not. It's very cookie cutter. Like, I didn't notice anything in the plot that told me it was anything different from a Disney film. Like, where you have an evil organization and you have that have evil motives and you have somebody that falls in love. But
yeah.
And the guy looks so much like Abe Sapien, you kind of wonder if he stole it from Hellboy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have heard that it's almost an Abe Sapien movie just without the name.
I would say it's Abe Sapien, except Abe Sapien has a level of intelligence and communication that this one doesn't. So, yeah, it was well worth seeing, and I enjoyed it. There was another movie I saw. God damn it. I got to start tracking movies like I do comics. Because I did see some... Oh, I saw Jumanji.
Oh, you did?
That was not my choice. That was... During the holidays, there wasn't anything that I wanted to see that I hadn't already seen. I saw Star Wars again. But, like, my parents like to go to movies a lot. And they like to go on Tuesdays because it's cheaper. It's, like, $2 cheaper on a Tuesday or $3 cheaper. And they were there one day, and I went with them, and they were like, "What do you want to see?" And they were like, "Jumanji." And I will say, I enjoyed it. Like, it's very similar to the preview. If you enjoy the preview, that's what you get. But it's just entertaining.
Yeah, I think it got pretty good reviews. I want to see it.
The girl is beautiful. Like, somebody said, she has like ties to Doctor Who, and she's the girl from Nebula and Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh my God!
Oh, she, whatever, Gillian or whatever.
Holy smokes!
Gillian, what's her name? Kristen? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not a Doctor Who fan. I don't know if you knew this about me.
I'm not a Doctor Who fan either. That's weird. I have two Doctor Who podcasts following me, and I'm like, do they not know me? I mean, I've been real adamant that one of the properties I absolutely hate is Doctor Who, and I've tried to jump in. I can't figure it out. Like I
don't get the appeal.
I think for me, it's mostly because I was forced to watch it as a kid. And then even later on, Heath Holland and everybody were kind of forcing me to watch it. And it's like, I'm having this condition with Doctor Who that I absolutely can't grab. Like people telling me it's great and I just don't see it. My dad liked it. I just never got into it. It's like, when's the Muppets coming on? But I think you'll like Jumanji. I think your kids will like Jumanji. There is some weird stuff, though, like for kids that you don't want to have to explain. Because one of the girls turns into a guy. And there's some weird situations. Huh?
Sure. Yeah, that's one of the main things in the movie.
Yeah, Jack Black.
Yeah.
Jack Black is a girl. And he's the real beautiful and snobbish girl, like in high school. So it makes for good comedy, but it makes for some weird situations for kids, I think. Depending on how old your kids are. If you don't want to have to explain boners, then maybe you shouldn't.
I'll keep that in mind.
That's the easiest way to put it.
Boner age.
All right.
I don't think. So you didn't go see Coco?
No, I'm not a real cartoon person. Plus, my parents already saw it with my niece and nephew.
Oh, they already saw it.
Yeah.
I saw that over break. That's a good movie. That's very emotional.
Yeah, I heard I'd be crying if I saw it.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Like, the animation of that is crazy good. And it was a really good story. I highly enjoyed that one.
My parents and me grew up in a Hispanic culture, too. So, like, that's why my parents liked it.
Yeah.
Like they got a lot of the... Of how could I say it? They got a lot of the inside stuff because we live like certain things. We live through some of that.
Sure, it's
our culture.
It definitely captured a lot of the culture. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the strengths of the movie. I mean, the whole thing is basically built around. I don't remember what. Country it took place in, but was it Mexico? It might have been.
Yeah.
But just the cultural heritage and the belief system of the country. And the importance of, like, family and culture and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. It was really well done. And, of course, I saw the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, we talked about that, though, I think.
No, we did not.
Did we? Maybe I talked about it with Rob, and that's why I'm confused.
Yeah, I think you talked. Yeah. Well, it's been talked to death, but I'll just say I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I even bought one of those ships.
I saw. I'm jealous. Yeah.
I kind of fell in love with the awkwardness of it. Like, it doesn't even have symmetry to it.
The ship? Yeah, it was a...
It's such an odd-looking thing that I was like, I have to have it. It's so weird. Like, the other ship I would like to have is the bomber, because the bomber looked... It's just an odd-looking thing. It has a turn at the bottom, and then it's like all stocked with bombs that, and then a release mechanism, and then the cockpit. It's weird. I love that scene. That scene's great. My favorite in that movie.
Oh, with the
With the bombers when they attack that super destroyer, whatever they call it, the dreadnought. Yep. Is it the? I think it's called a dreadnought.
Sounds bright.
And I don't
that was another one that I didn't really get the hate for.
Yeah, I don't get it. I've seen it twice already, and
I guess I get it from the perspective of they were doing something different in this, like, character-wise than they have in the past. But I liked it.
And see, I think it's the syndrome of Star Trek. They're doing the same thing over again. This was like... The first movie was like Star Wars when they came back, Force right. Awakens. The second one was like Empire Strikes Back. You have the same themes with mixture of Return of the Jedi, because when you have Kylo and Ren together, I mean Kylo and what are their names? Rey. When you have them together fighting the villain, it's like the Emperor, Luke Skywalker, and Darth. Do you know what I mean? The correlations right. to the similarities are very similar. You have a sort of ice world, even though it's not ice, it's salt. You have like a Planet Hoth scene. You have the Dagobah scene in Empires with the training with Luke and her.
Right, but but for all of those things, they didn't follow the exact trope that was in the first one, because like even the training, it wasn't that she just went there and got trained and then went off. She went there and he refused to train her, so they kind of turned a lot of things on their head.
He started to train her until she decided to flip out,
and then the whole backstory,
he freaked out and had a flashback and he couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, but at first he wasn't going to train her. He was refusing.
No, he was refusing. I thought it was a good reason to, too. He saw his students decimated, essentially.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, that's the backstory.
I mean,
that
the
based
ones
on.
That there was a group that went off with Kylo Ren, and there was a group that Kylo killed. And his whole, as a teacher, he failed everybody because they're all dead or they've all went to the dark side. So he's like, fuck this, I'm never going to do this shit again.
Mm-hmm. Right, but my point being that this one had that additional layer of depth where it wasn't just cookie cutter. She goes to the planet but with the old master and gets trained and then is able to go back and fight. There's like more complexity to it.
Yeah.
Which I like. I mean, I like that.
It's similar. It has, like, the dark side, like when Luke was training and there was the tree. Well, on this island, there was that hole in the ground that looked like you could go into it. She did go into it. That's when she, like, multiplied and saw herself in line. She's trying to find out who her parents were.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Me too.
It wasn't my favorite, but I really enjoyed it.
I think it's one of my favorites. I think it's my favorite after the original series.
Oh man, I liked Rogue Squadron so much. So that is way better.
I liked it more than Rogue, but I haven't watched that. I need to watch that one again to remind myself, because I did like that one a lot. It's close. All the three new ones, I liked them all. So
yeah, I like them all. It makes me want to get into toys again. That's the hard thing, is these goddamn documentaries. I'm like, what? I'm missing out on these goddamn ships. Like, I at least want to get the ships. If they come up with the new AT-AT, I think it's the AT-M6 or what, I don't remember what they call it. But if they come up with that, I'm going to buy one for sure. I don't care. I'm going to buy it. I don't have any room for it, but I'm going
to
buy it.
I know, that's my problem. It's like, some of this stuff, I'd love to buy it, but what the hell am I going to do with it? I got no room for it. And put it in a box in the basement.
I told myself I'm only going to, like, if that happens, I'm going to do that.
I need a nice big house where I can just have one room, like, with shelves just full of toys.
Yeah. It'd be nice if I had a toy room and a comic, just like.
I need this room and a comic room.
And an art room. I really need. What I really need is at least 4,000 square feet. That's what I need. 4,000 to 5,000 square feet house.
Damn. 4,000. Yeah, 4,000 would be perfect. I could totally. Because then I could use about 8,000 for my stuff. Or not 8,000. 800 for my stuff.
I'm already using that. And much more, but. But if I had a 1,500.
That's not including storage. Then I also need storage on top of that.
Yeah. Star Wars was. Is there anything else you want to mention on that?
No, that's good.
It is weird though. Like, there's a lot of fan hatred lately. Like, just people just shitting their pants over something. Like, they're literally dumping in their shorts. Like, this is the worst thing ever. I'm gonna form a petition. Make sure this never exists in continuity. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm so tired of people.
Yeah, I just ignore it. Who cares?
I have gotten better with social media. Like, it could be because of work is killing me, but I just don't follow it as much. On the Twitter, I'll look at stuff, but not. I won't look at everything. I'll like come home and I'll look at my list of people and
yeah, see exactly.
If there's anything interesting, like, and I'll scroll.
I filtered out a lot of the.
Yeah, it's
anyone
weird.
Who's a big ass complainer about stuff, I've just filtered them out.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear it.
I removed a creator. I couldn't take him anymore. I just dropped him. And I like him personally. I just don't like anything he posts. I just.
Yeah.
Like, if I was to talk to him at a con again, I would. But he's too negative, man.
Yeah.
I don't need negativity in my life.
Right, especially, I mean, if you're checking that first thing in the day, like, or whatever, you don't want to start your day off with a bunch of negative stuff. It's like, no.
I want to see what people are excited about.
Yeah.
You know, what are they enjoying?
See some fun stuff.
I don't like
see some funny stuff.
Shit. All right, let's go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing that's impossible to avoid is stuff about the president, but that's the world we live in, I guess, today.
that you can't avoid because he's an idiot, and he's an idiot on social media, so.
Yep. Oh, my God. Yes.
I I it's almost like a comedy. It's almost like, I can't believe we let this guy in.
It's always weird because I think back to like former presidents of like, I can't imagine like a former president saying any of these things.
No.
Like they don't even think those things.
Or
if they did
like,
think of, they know that it's not something a president would say.
I don't know if this
goddamn president.
I don't know if this is true, but I was on a tour once. I was on. We went to William H. Hearst's house in California. It's a mansion. I mean, this guy had some gold toilet bowl seats. Mm-hmm. So like, he had many tennis courts, like 7 pools. So it's just extravagant. But they said towards the end of his life, he regressed, like, and he was known for his newspaper and all that other stuff, but he regressed into like a childlike state. And he had these rooms where he had like cartoons and like stuff in the trimming, and they're very odd rooms, but they're saying that he like started to act like a child anymore. And that reminds me of Donald Trump, because it's almost like things that he's not quite at the high school level yet, but he's like an elementary and junior high level, like as far as like his responses.
Yeah, he's like in a pull your hair, stick your tongue out, and call you a name.
Right. I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? And it's ridiculous because that's his top priority. Like that's all he has to say to anybody is, I'm smart. I'm like, who gives a fuck?
I won the election.
Yeah.
I won the election, so obviously I'm right.
But let's talk comics. There's one comic I want to promote, a comic that's coming out soon. And
that's in previews?
No, it's going to be going to Comixology. It's a friend of DC Noise.
Oh, like Monica's book.
Yeah, Monica has done. She's done web comics before. She's done Detective Fausto, and she's had me, Keith, and Daryl in them. And she's actually the first person that decided to draw the DC Noise train. So she drew a DC Noise train.
I believe that in Detective Fausto, that's where she jumped the shark, as it were.
Put in the DC Noise characters. But she's been a friend since like Keith and Daryl and I got together. She's pretty much been around DC Noise. And she's coming out with a comic book called Friendship Paradox. I've already read it because she gave me a preview copy. It's coming out on Monday. I think it's Monday, or it's either Monday or Tuesday. And it'll be on Comixology. So I would appreciate anybody that could want to try something out, something different, something independent. It is a time-oriented thing, like back to the future and stuff like that. But this time, she's in the 80s. I'm going to set this up without spoiling it. She's in the 80s, and she goes into a time machine, if you will, but it doesn't look like a time machine. It's more like a contraption. And it ports her into the current time, and it's like her dealing with the situations. It does have some interesting things. Like, I've never seen this done with time stuff, but I'm not a time expert. I mean, I'm a DC time expert. Like, I know Kronos, and I know the Legion of Superheroes, and I know some Image stuff that's dealt with time, and Oni stuff that's dealt with time. But I've never seen this done before, and it could just be that I haven't seen it, but it's an interesting aspect that I've never seen. It's what if you went to the future and your body can't deal with the evolution of viruses and all that other stuff? It's interesting because you know how powerful viruses and shit are. They evolve. I mean, our antibiotics can't even keep up with them. Like, that's why they say always take your antibiotics till the end, because these bacterias and shit, they they know how to live.
They figure
how to evolve.
It would probably be similar to going to another country where they have different bacteria than you have back
exactly,
home.
Exactly, and they try to give you immunizations before you leave, right?
Right, before you leave, yeah. But in this case, you can't, so.
Yeah. But I would encourage you to text. She does all her work. She draws it and she writes it.
Yeah, she's been posting preview stuff for the last couple of years.
She started in 2016, and now it's finally coming to fruition. So she's been working very hard on it. So I would appreciate anybody that could throw a couple dollars her way on the Comixology and enjoy a comic book and stuff to go for it. I am going to buy, even though I have a PDF version, I am going to buy it off of Comixology. I know that.
I will be getting it as well. We could talk about it in a future episode.
Yes, we'll talk about it in a future episode. So, that's all I wanted to plug up front before I forgot, and then we could get into our reads. I had a lot of mixed feelings about these books that you picked.
Your taste is like off today. Yesterday. You must have been in a bad mood.
There was one that I rated a 2 out of 5. I didn't like it at all, and I even tried to go reread the first 10 pages just to see if I missed anything, and I just artistically I thought I liked I love the style of the art, but to me I'm an 80-20, like 80 story 20 art kind of guy. Like I could deal with bad art.
Yes,
I can't
me
deal
too.
With the story. I can't deal with the story that I can't get into at all, and it's not really fair because I think the artist contributes just as much, if not more, to the story than the writer, just in this medium, because it depends on how you look at it, but that's how I look at it. So, so one end of the spectrum, I think, like in the Kirby days, Kirby did it all. He had like a fucking napkin that told him what to do, and then he had to tell the whole story. But I like this art. This is number one with a bullet from Image Comics.
Before you move on, you made me think of something. In the latest previews, I think, is it Bloodshot that Lemire's doing?
Yes, Salvation.
Yeah, there's a in the latest previews, the issue of Bloodshot, it's a artless issue where it's just text and like panel outlines. And it's like black because it takes place. It's supposed like
what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you see that? It's where Bloodshot's apparently somewhere where there's no light, so he can't see anything. It's from his point of view.
He's in the dead side, but that's bullshit.
It looks really like cool. They give preview panels. It looks really cool.
Why? You know how I deal with the companies that I'm all in on. I don't even look at the previews. So I check the box. Well, it's a bundle, right? So I skip it.
But I'm looking forward to it. But like you said, if you're an 80-20 guy, then you're getting 80% of it.
This is gonna cause so much controversy in the violent world. No, because there, I've met a lot of fans. Okay, like DC
Valiant
fans,
guys,
Marvel fans, Valiant fans. Valiant to me is the most anal of any fan I've ever seen. Like,
well, they feel the most ownership for some reason.
Yes, they feel. Yeah, I can't explain it. I know it exists, and I know that. You know the one Valiant fan I can't stand that think they're better than everybody else. That
the Freddy.
Martin Ferretti. He thinks he's so good. He's so good and so much better. No, that's not Martin. But that will condemn other comic companies and say everything else is shit except for Valiant. That kind of fan drives me up a fucking wall. And that's across the board. Like, if you're that kind of fan, I don't need you.
Stop listening right now.
Yeah, get the fuck off.
Turn off your podcast machine.
Pull out your 8-track and step on it.
Pull it out. Eject. Hit the eject button.
We don't need you. Because comics are comics. I don't really care. Like, you could be into it. You could be mainstream. I don't care. It's an inner form of entertainment. No need to shit on everything. But man, that I hope that whole issue isn't like that.
I think it is. It seemed to be the implication of the solicit.
Art,
I think it looks Lemire. Cool. And Lemire's doing the whole thing, so like the panels themselves, I think, take shapes and forms and are
I will tell you right now that it's going to be good because I think Lemire gets Bloodshot pretty well. Like, at least what I want to read. Like, I'm enjoying all his arc. I like what he's doing in the Valiant world. But to have no art, it's going to freak people shit. And I don't like, I don't know if I like that. When you turn a comic to prose, that throws me out. It throws me out.
It's not really prose, though.
No, it's still panel-driven.
Yeah, it's still panels. There's just
it's almost like if you shut the lights off and you couldn't see anything.
Right, but so, you still have the dialogue.
Yeah.
Bubbles.
That's interesting. What were we talking about before we went into Valiant?
The book that you have not named.
You reading Bloodshot? Let me...
I am not.
Okay, you're missing out.
I haven't read any of the Lemire stuff.
That's a damn shame.
I need to...
You're one of those fans that think you're better than everybody else.
I'm just behind on Valiant.
Although
I did read a Valiant this morning.
What'd you read?
I read Shadow Man... The one about the rap singers.
Oh yeah, I like that.
The one chat.
It was another story like Bright that we've seen before. But it was well told, I thought.
Yeah. I wish it was not a one shot.
Yeah. It gave me the Shadow Man that I want, but it was so short that I couldn't judge, like I couldn't say I want it for sure. But it's the same dark. It's the environment that I like Shadow Man to be in. I don't like him to be in Harry Potter world. I like the Dead Side to be scary. I like Shadow Man book to have an element of horror. Like
for
that.
Sure.
A voodoo. Give me some voodoo and some weird stuff in New Orleans and saxophone playing and I'm okay. I'm like in paradise. But, we're talking about an Image book.
And it's all right, Image.
Number One with the Bullet by Jacob Simon and George Corona is the artist. And
yes.
I was lost.
I had to read the beginning a couple times to
figure
out what was going on.
The beginning I still don't understand. I don't fucking understand the first pages until... She puts the contact lenses in, and I'm still lost. A matter of fact, when I read this book, I was so lost. I was like, "How do I summarize this?" So I went and Googled reviews of this to see what it was about.
Wow!
I didn't like this at all. I have one more issue, and I'm gonna read it today because I am gonna drop this thing like a. I am going to remove it, take it off my order, not finish it. I didn't find it coherent.
I liked it. Now, the beginning was a little confusing because they start off. So the whole book is about this woman who I don't remember her name, but she works for a talk show host, kind of like a Stephen Colbert type guy. Jad Davies, apparently.
He's a news guy, I thought.
Well, I think he does like a.
He says Jack Davies. It's the news you didn't know you wanted to know.
Yeah, I think it's more of an entertainment news type thing.
I still don't understand the beginning, so you could explain it to me. That's a fucking hot mess to me.
My understanding. So in this world, there's these contacts you can put on. That allow you to do different things. And I think one of the things
Don't jump forward. Explain the beginning to me without the context.
I am. I think the beginning is the context. She's wearing contacts where it allows you to live in this like virtual reality world.
And where do you get that? Where does it tell you that?
Because the scene is that she's on this TV show and they've put these thing. I think my understanding is they put these contacts in her and she's now like walking around the stage seeing it. What she thinks is happening is that she's killing the talk show host, but it's actually not happening. It's just in her eyes. Now I'm trying to find where it kind of says that. But she says, I know it's not real. I'm trying to find it. Oh, here we go. She's in the thick of it now, Jad. The new Irish Shutter firmware update will kick into fresh element if it finds the user lagging. So my understanding is that she was wearing these contacts that allow her to live in this virtual world.
Huh.
These iris ones. And then she takes out, yeah, because then on the one page, she takes out the yellow contacts and then puts in blue contacts. So I think she takes out the iris ones, the virtual reality ones, and puts in her regular ones. But it says here, so the iris. Be sure to download Travis Martin's new firmware update. Not only can you record, replay, and relive, but now recreate reality with the iris shutter contacts.
It's confusing, this book.
And then you follow the girl and find out about her life. So she, I can't remember. The boss sends her to his ex-wife's house on a mission to get something from her. And then you meet her girlfriend and see their relationship. And then the end of the story is that someone has leaked video from her contact of her in a sexual situation with her girlfriend. So she now has to deal with the outcome of that. I liked it, and the art was beautiful.
I like the art style, so there's something.
I liked it, and I liked all the dialogue and the interaction between people. I quite enjoyed this book. But yeah, the beginning was a little confusing.
I didn't like it. I still don't believe you. That's not what this story is about.
I don't remember who leaked the information, though.
They didn't say who leaked it.
Or why.
Leaked the information about her having sex?
Yeah, leaked the video.
They didn't say that. They just showed it.
Yeah.
She showed up for work the next day. She thinks they're going to yell at her for one thing. And it's not what she expected them to be yelling at her for. So, I got to read number two and see what I missed.
I liked it. Thumbs up for me.
So you gave it a 4 out of 5?
I think so. Let me look at my file.
I gave it a 2 out of 5. I didn't like it. I like the art. There's too much for me not to like. I don't think they use the medium to tell a coherent story. If I wanted to read it 20 times, maybe I'd get it, but...
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
You will be reading that trade by yourself, my friend.
There was another book. It wasn't on the list. I don't know if you got it or not. Called... What was it called? Retcon? Did you get that book?
No, I didn't. But that was another book. Talk about it.
I had to read it twice because the first time I didn't understand it completely, and so I had to read it again. And the second time I liked it. Well, but it also starts out confusing.
I'm glad I didn't buy it then.
Yeah, you wouldn't have liked it. So it starts out, there's a guy in like an AA type meeting, and there's the voiceover of one of the guys saying, "Oh, look at this guy spilling his guts once again. The agency sent me in to take care of this guy." And the guy who's spilling his guts is talking about saying that he was in the secret group in the I don't remember what. He's in a secret group for the government that used to go to places and capture supernatural creatures. And like, supernatural creatures are true. And he shows these pictures of, he says, "Look in this picture, there's us with a genie." And they show this group of people with this dead genie. And you learn that the one guy who's, you hear the voiceover of, it's his, they need to kill this dude now. So, but and he says there's another person in the room who is his power is that he can control bodies. So he's like a puppet master type guy where he can control someone's body. And he's controlling this girl. And then the one guy wants to empty the room and get rid of all the innocent people, but the girl just wants to blow up the room. And then they fight the dude, and he turns into like he's like a werewolf kind of guy. And they end up fighting him. And then it jumps to another guy who's at the Pentagon, who's in charge of this group. So it's kind of confusing, jumping around. But the one thing I don't get, in the first issue, they don't do it at all. But the whole concept of this book and the name of it, Retcon, is that these people are reliving their lives somehow. But that they don't mention that at all in the first issue. So it's kind of weird.
That is weird. If that's the whole concept.
Like, but I didn't like it the first time I read it.
I think if they opened up number one with a bullet differently, like,
yeah, more straightforward. Gave some
straightforward way, I think I would have. I actually think I would have felt very different about it, because I think this was the first month, or at least the batch of books that came in, where I started reading the magazine and picking what image I wanted. And it didn't work for me at all, because what I found out is the ones that I picked based on the preview, I didn't like, and the ones that I didn't buy and then decided to pick up later were the ones that I liked. So I'm like, I want to go back to the magazine and figure out what did they put in the preview that made me want to buy this.
I like it.
Because I didn't like it at all. So I don't know what to think about that Image Preview magazine anymore, because it didn't work for me at all. So there's two books that I picked for the month. Maybe there were three. And the two books that I picked are the ones I don't like.
What's the other one?
Dark Fang.
Oh, Dark Fang. I like that one too.
I did not like Dark Fang. I felt kind of like a 3 out of 5 on it. And I'll tell you why I liked it. This one's easier for me to explain, because the preview led me to believe it was more of a social media type vampire. And it has aspects of that in Dark Fang. What it turned out to be to me was very different. I like the art. The story was coherent. It wasn't like the other one. I wasn't confused about it. I understood it. I guess I just didn't get what I wanted. What I wanted was in like 4 pages or maybe 3. And then it turned into something else that I wasn't too crazy about. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. It sounds like you gave it another 4. What did you give Retcon?
The first time I gave retcon a 2. Second time I gave it a 4. So a 3 average.
That's a big difference. See the difference between me and you, and I think it's because I have so much to fucking read that I don't want to reread. I don't feel like if I don't understand it that I should have to go back. And I did reread the first 6 pages of Number One at the Billet, and I still didn't get it. And I was like, I don't want to reread this because I don't like it.
I want to correct you because I get a lot of stuff too, and I usually don't go back. The only reason I went back is I didn't take notes on it. And I think that the trade might be solicited this month, and I couldn't remember what the book was about because I didn't understand it. So
like, maybe I should read it again.
Yeah, so I'm like, I got to flip through it to just remind myself what this book is about. And then I started reading it, and I was actually understanding it the second time. Because I think the first time, it takes you so long to figure out who these characters are and who's who and what's going on that you're halfway through the book before you realize it. So you almost need to go back to reread it again once you understand what's going on. To understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Dark Fang was by Miles Gunter and the artist is Kelsey Shannon. Is that right? And,
I was muted.
Yeah, is that the right team?
That is. The one complaint that I can't understand is that. And the one issue people might have with it is it starts off with the story. So it's this vampire woman who figures out that she can make money with a webcam because she learns she can control people through the webcam, basically.
Kind of like using her vampire hypnotism powers to get virtual coin and become rich. So like if it was a Bitcoin, she could become rich.
So people start watching her nudie video on the webcam, and then she mind controls them into giving her all their money, basically.
Very, very different from Martin on the Nerdy Legion, who bought Bitcoin and then tanked the whole company. Like Bitcoin, as soon as he bought some Bitcoin, the whole company fell. Like Bitcoin started to be worth nothing anymore.
Well, that's because once it hit Nerdy Legion, they're like, oh, it's mainstream now.
It's all mainstream.
Then no one was interested. It's true.
But she becomes filthy rich, and then it goes into her backstory, and then goes back into the
Then it jumps into her backstory for most of the issue, which I liked the backstory. But
I thought it was so uninteresting. Like
really?
I like the Bitcoin thing because she's like, oh shit, this is what, like, she's like learning what the internet is. Like she came out, I don't know what the internet is. And then she learns that she could take advantage of it and use her powers and earn money and not really do anything. And I thought that guy that doesn't have no head, that was just weird. Like it wasn't even, I didn't like that.
Oh, that.
She decapitated a dude who has like this floating head, and he's like the one that tells her, "I'll make your website. I'll set this all up for
her about
you.
The internet.
Teach you all this stuff, and you'll make lots of Bitcoin and do all this and get all these things." And then it has the flashback, and then I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be good. I'm gonna learn how she became a vampire." And it was too straightforward to me. It was like, "Oh, yeah. We really have Dracula and his wives, and." He bites her, and then she becomes like a Cinderella, if you will, where she's like a slave. All she's doing is cleaning blood off the floor, and it's like Cinderella. And then once she says, fuck this, and then she kills everybody, and then goes into the ocean and finds a friend that's a shark and falls in love with this friend, sort of like it's her companion in the dark for a long time. And then all of a sudden this dark comes and kills her friend, and then she goes back up into our current time.
Yeah, I think there's like an oil spill. I think that's what that was.
Oh, do you think it's an oil spill? I didn't get that. I thought it was like legit.
Yeah, no, I think it was an oil spill.
What made you think it was an oil spill? Was there like a reference to a boat above, or?
I don't think so, but she's talking about this is a darkness. This Wait, she said, all at once a darkness enveloped the waters, but this was not a darkness I knew. It did not belong in the ocean.
If it was an oil spill, then I think I would have liked it a little bit more. I thought it was like a mystical thing.
But no, I think it was a natural thing, or not natural, but a human thing.
Okay.
That was my understanding anyway.
And then she decides to buy Dracula's castle because now she's filthy rich. Now you're in current time.
Right, then you jump back to current time. She's killing people in Dracula's castle.
I'm conflicted on this one. Like I saw in previews, like when I saw number one with the bullet and this, and I went to go look at my previews to see what the blurb said, to say, am I gonna order it?
Mm-hmm.
And on this one, I don't know, because issue 5 is the conclusion of the first arc. So like I'll have a first arc story if I get through issue 5, and I already have issue 2. So I think I have issue 3 too. I just haven't got my shipment because of the holiday. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I assume they're done with the flashback. Although maybe it isn't oil, because there's like the thing ends with the twist reveal that one of her fangs is turning dark, which hence the name Dark Fang.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it was mystical.
Could be.
I thought it was a mystical element that happened. I didn't think it was oil. And I like it if the oil came, but then at the end it implied, hey.
And the cover is her biting the earth and the black stuff going all over the earth.
It seems to me like there's something going on that's coming to the earth, and she'll have to fight it or be one with it. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Well, I enjoyed it.
You gave it a 4 out of 5.
I did.
So what you're telling me is that you're going to buy all of these 3 trades.
No, I'm not. Let me see. I don't believe that's the case.
Do you put a little marker there? Like if it's a for sure thing, do you like say?
I do.
A little green mark or something, a check mark?
I do. I do. Yes, no, question mark, or yes, question mark.
The yes question mark is...
It's a 1 to 4, I guess. So I have a 4 scale rating.
Does the yes question mark mean if I have enough money, I'll buy it?
Yeah, question mark means it could go either way. Yes question mark means I probably want to get it, but I'm not so for sure on it.
But if money is an issue, it could bounce it out.
Right, I could drop it, but I probably want to get it. So if I could fit it in, I definitely want to get it. Question mark is I probably won't get it. Unless it's like,
unless you hear something or
super deal or reviews, if people are raving about it. So what am I looking up? I'm looking for retcon was a question mark.
But you changed your mind after reading it.
I did, but I'm still not crazy about it. I just understood it more.
But a 4 out of 5 is like, I really like it. That's a game changer when you say 4 out of 5. If you say 3 out of 5, that means you like it. That means I could fall on either side of the fence.
My scale is maybe a little different than yours.
No, we're doing the Netflix scale.
I don't remember the Netflix scale. Thumbs up or thumbs down.
Five is I love it. Four is I love it. I really like it. 3 is I like it. 2 is I don't like it. And 1 is I hated it.
Okay, then retcon. Well, yeah, retcon I gave a 3 out of 5.
No, you said 4. You gave a 2 out of 5 and you jumped into a 4. You
right,
skipped
so
an
average
3.
Of 3. The average of 3.
Oh, okay. So you're going to take that first experience into your experience.
I think it should. I think that should count.
This is interesting.
And then, okay, what was the other book?
Number one with the bullet.
Oh, yeah. Number one with the bullet is a... Well, that's a question mark.
That's confusing.
I'm going to change that to a yes question mark.
That's what I because think the, it should have been.
I really like the art.
Yes question mark.
Yes question mark.
So you have a yes question mark, a question mark, and a yes question mark for Dark Fang?
Dark Fang is a yes.
Dark Fang is a solid yes.
It's a solid yes.
Oh, this is interesting. I thought you would have given number one with the bullet a higher rating, but it sounds like of these three, Dark Fang was the shit. Like, you liked that one the most.
I did enjoy that one the most out of the three. Interesting.
Well, I agree with you on that. Even though my most isn't as good as your
most. Yeah, you're just offset by one.
But I didn't read Retcon, so it's at the bottom.
So you made the right decision
in
passing on that one, I guess.
Well, you said I might have had a frustration. Like, see, where I like to reread is when, if it's like Quarry's War. Like, if I loved it so much, I want to reread it. I don't like to reread it if I'm frustrated with
the... See if you could figure it out the second time.
Yeah. But what I will like, with number one, the bullet, I have to be honest. I was lost, Bill. I reread the first 10 pages. I don't feel like I even understood. Like, I understood the part with the ending, right? But I don't feel like I knew what was going on well enough to make a decision. And I didn't want to reread it again because I didn't enjoy the first 10 pages, so I turned to the internet to tell me what it was like, and it's favorable. Like,
but even if you didn't like the first 10 pages, didn't you like the rest of the story with her and the girlfriend and everything and the dialogue?
Okay, so we're fucking.
Like at the bar talking and stuff.
Oh, the people know that I'm fucking on the phone now and they can see it? I didn't care, no.
No, but I mean, even before that part, just with her and... Her girlfriend at the bar and stuff. And
no, they didn't seem interesting at all. I didn't feel like I liked her or the girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't connect with the characters, then you'll never like it, so.
Well, I got to read number two, and then next time I'll tell you, God dang, Bill, this is fucking awesome. I don't know what I was thinking. Make sure I ordered it. It got a yes.
Yes, bump it up to a yes question mark.
Sounds like you have to answer a question.
No, that's just talking in the background. This is the difference. I'm now podcasting in a public location.
That's right. The filters have to be applied. Turn on the machine. So,
what else
do we have? We have Doppelganger.
Oh, yeah, Doppelganger.
Doppelganger. This one I liked. This is
more
in my wheelhouse.
This is one of the best Alterna ones I think I've read.
This is one that I thought was well told, and it set up a good world and staged it correctly. And it could fall in like the suspense and horror genre.
Yeah, and it does a good job of setting up the full story. So by the end of this issue, you know what where the story is going to go. Because basically, so the concept here is that this guy is going to work one day and gets rear-ended by someone. And he goes out to look at the dude. And it's a dude who apparently has had a heart attack or something in his car. A passed out guy. This is similar to what happened with you, Mike.
Yeah, it is.
This could have happened to you.
That would have sucked. And then I'm like, I'm seeing myself. And then he's with my wife. I'm like, fuck. And he tells you you're going to die in a couple of days.
So the guy, a couple of days later, his doppelganger, a copy of himself, shows up at the door. He showed up at the door, right? Or he meets him anyway. I can't remember how they actually met.
I think he heard a sound and stuff, and then he went outside, and he's like, and then he introduced himself, told him the situation, And he says something weird to him, like, well, you're going to only be around a couple 48 hours or something like that. And then I'm like taking your body or something like that.
Yeah, basically told him, I was the guy in the car, and the first person I see, I take their body. So I'm taking over your body, and you have, yeah, you have 48 hours to live, and then I'm you.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, wait, what?
It's like, what, what?
Whoa, whoa, what? So now, obviously, the rest of the series is going to be him trying to figure out how to get his life back.
And it sounds like he's a good worker at his job. Like, he does a lot of work, and he gets promotions through his performance. And that there's other people at work that get promotions because they know people, and, you know, they're not very good. And it was interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, so did I. So this is written
I like,
by...
I like the newsprint. I like the art. I thought the art was great.
This is one I'm actually getting in single issues.
Wow. And you didn't even read it first and to make that determination.
I think I did. I think I emailed them.
Oh, you said I want it. You wanted to add it after the
fact.
Put
number two on my list, yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll get you number two, because there was a lot of Twitter conversation lately about Diamond not treating Alterna fairly.
Because of the low price point?
It could be both. It could be the low price point. It really seemed like Dirty Pool to me. Like, Diamond was saying, we don't have that available. Like, usually what happens is, you know, the store orders, whatever, right? And then before, if they see some demand, they can call Diamond and say, can you send me three more copies of X?
Right, so if they get three copies and they sell out on the Wednesday, they can
and
be
I
like,
guess
oh,
Diamond,
I should get some more.
Diamond was saying, no, we don't have three more copies of X. And Alterna says, yeah, you do. You ordered X amount. How could you not have? And there was like a back and forth. So I don't know who's telling the truth or what, but it sounds like people weren't getting or couldn't
additional
have available
ones.
Additional copies, or might have tried number one and then said, hey, you know what? Could you add that to my list? And then couldn't get it. That's what it sounded like. And there were some frustrated people. But
oh, we'll have to see if I get number two.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm gonna look
it
up. I'm gonna look it up.
You might be safe because it's every other month. They tend to not do back to back months. Do you know what I mean? Like the chair isn't solicited in March, April, May, June. It's listed in March.
Remember? Oh yeah, it is. It's every other month.
It's every other month.
Well, it's not prepped for shipping yet, so it's still a question mark. We'll see if that order is filled.
The one that my favorite from Alterna, and I'm not done with it, I've read up to issue 3, and I don't know if you've already read it because it's a republished, is The Chair. I like that one a lot.
I like the first issue. I should have gotten that one in singles, but
the thing I like about it is every issue has led me to believe something different. Like I'm on issue 3 and I don't even know if this guy's guilt. After issue 1 and 2, I thought this guy's in prison for something he didn't do, and then issue 3 led me to believe otherwise. So I'm still confused, but I'm enjoying it.
That's good. Yeah, that's the chair is a weird one, because that's one that I swear it's been published several times over the years.
It has.
Because I've always noticed it, like, in previews.
Yeah, I like that one.
It also seems like a good one to be coming out now in single issues, if that is true, that where the story keeps changing every issue.
Yeah, I wanna watch the movie. They have a movie for it too, so.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's gonna lead me to watch the movie. Barb, what did you think of I Don't Give a Fuck About the World? That one series. Do you have any comments?
No. Didn't have my interest enough to pay full attention to it.
Yeah, you'd rather read the news.
She loved it. I heard her say it's fantastic. moved me.
She felt indifferent. Like
she wasn't paying attention to it.
Do I drive you crazy when I talk about Quarry? Quarry, Barb.
Quarry's okay, it's just not Quarry.
No, but do you even know what I'm saying? I know you listen to me about the show, but does it even make sense when I talk to you about it?
Sure.
Sure? That isn't a real confidence. Like, sure. She doesn't know what's going on, but she listens to me, so it's like you're talking to somebody and it's bouncing off of them.
So she's just nodding, going, uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, so Doppelganger gave both thumbs up. I am surprised about Dark Fang with you. I really am. The other one I could guess. Like, I think I
don't know. I just liked it for some reason.
I even told Barb. I said, I don't understand this shit. Like, with number one in the bullet. I don't know if she remembers this. Like, I was like, this. I don't know what the hell's going on. I said, Bomer's going to love it. But with Dark Fang, I was like, I thought that was going to come in like you. Question mark with you, like I don't know whether to get it or not, and it scored really high with you, which is strange. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I just like I liked it for some reason. I liked the character.
What else did we have? Oh, we had old guard, the old guard.
Oh, the old guard. Yes,
that one we read the whole thing.
Old guard V1.
That was my favorite of the bunch.
I gave it a 5 out of 5.
I didn't give it a 5 out of 5. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
But, I think mine was pushed to 5 out of 5 because of the art, and particularly the colors are so amazing.
They are good.
They're so beautiful.
They are good, but for me, story is number one. And I think it would have been better, but issue 2 kind of, I had too many questions. Like,
really?
Yeah, because issue 2 was just a weird issue. It was like,
which one was 2?
Issue 2 was, we're on the run. Okay, this guy is going to hunt us down and kill us.
Right.
And then she's like, okay, we're going to have to go into hiding for a while until we can figure out what to do. And they're but we know we all dram about this other immortal.
Right, they have the vision about
We have to go after her to protect her. Well, they're not going to know about this other immortal. Like, there's no way. I mean, at this point in time,
true.
Issue 2, you don't know that somebody's going to turn. Okay? You do not know there's somebody in that group that is not thinking the same way they are.
Right.
That comes further down the road. Like, that's where the hook is. And she's like, she wants to protect the team, so she's like, fuck no. And then they talk to her for 2 minutes, and then she switches. And then, okay. And then they find her immediately. Like, it's like, they find her in, like, 3 panels. We found her. She's found.
I didn't think that they went after her.
Now we have to.
Because they were worried about her, though. I thought they just went after her because when they have a vision like this, they immediately want to, like, when they find that there's another immortal, they want to get the immortal as quick as possible.
That's their usual goal, to go to the immortal and get them part of the group, because it's very rare that they have these immortals. Immortals can die. It doesn't explain why, but they have lost some friends in the past. And it doesn't.
Right. Yeah, they're not truly immortal. They just live a long time, or they can regenerate basically.
But it doesn't say like what could cause it. It's almost like they don't know.
Right.
Like,
they don't know.
You could have your whole fucking face blown off, and the one guy regenerated himself.
Yeah,
like his head was gone. But how did these other people pass away? But
I think that at some point you just don't regenerate for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like quantity, like a video game. You've expelled 25
lives,
and then you're dead. Or
well, if it was that, they would have figured it out, though.
Or if it's the actual trauma of the death. Do you know what I mean? Like, is there something like you could get blown apart and disintegrated, and then you could die. It doesn't explain that, but it doesn't matter. It just, they found her really fast. They converted her pretty fast. They explained to her what's going on. And I like the idea who the villain is. It makes total sense. Like, who would want to capture these people? A pharmaceutical company. I like that part
a lot.
It's
the root of all evil, yes. According to the internet.
To become rich.
Sure, makes sense.
Yeah. And the guy's a jackass. Like, he's there. I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to figure out what you're doing. And then the doctor comes and says, you know what? They're just like us. I have no fucking clue how they regenerate themselves. And this guy's like, damn it.
Bullshit.
You figure it out.
Then it all goes to hell.
Yeah, and then it turns into an Everly. On the comic page. I did find it weird how they left the guy that betrayed them alive, though. Not the immortal, but the she left that guy alive that betrayed him in the first place, that knew they were immortal, and then let the pharmaceutical company know. His name was Copal or something like that. Copial? I can't remember his name.
Copley or something.
He's the one that shocked me, because she could have killed him immediately. They were in that same building. And,
yeah, they let him go.
They let him go. So he still knows about them and can still sell their information.
Why didn't they kill that guy?
I didn't understand it, because they were in the same building. They went to his office because they traced it back and said, okay, I know where he works. We'll go there. And they got there. And then one of the immortals that was around Napoleon, he was a French immortal that fought in the Napoleon Wars. I like that, too. I like the backstory, like when they're talking about, because you know how I like the war history?
Yeah, they tell about all the things they've been through.
Well, I like how they related, like, the you don't fuck with the Russians kind of thing, because that's how Hitler failed, too. Napoleon failed because they didn't plan for the cold, and Hitler failed, too, for the same reason. Like, their tanks couldn't even go into that weather. Their tanks weren't designed for that weather in World War One or World War Two, sorry, when they went all the way up there. And then Napoleon sort of did the same, and his men failed. And the thing that this had, like, that Highlander vibe, like, they always say, like, who wants to live forever? And you see Highlander, like, he falls in love and he loses his love, and they age and they die of cancer and stuff. And I kind of like how the guy kind of turned. He didn't turn because he didn't like the people. He turned because he wanted to die. Like,
yeah, he's done.
He saw all these relatives of him over the past, like, blame him. Like, why aren't you aging? Why aren't you aging? Why can't you save me? I have cancer. And he just, he hit a point in his life that he's like, I can't deal with this anymore. I love these people, and I can't die. I want to die. I want to give them health, and I can't.
Right.
He couldn't deal with it anymore.
And the one thing, because that's when he's telling the new immortal girl that they found, and they're like, don't talk to your family anymore. You got to sever all connections with everyone. And the one thing he says is that the one thing that'll happen if you live that long, like you said, everyone's going to resent you because you're staying young while they're getting old. And then your last memory of them is going to be them hating you. Whereas if you leave now, you have good memories of them. You don't have the memory of them being
the elder one, the female, she had a very different experience because she fell in love with that one guy that was, he started off in London, and then they deported him to Australia for the prison, and then she fell in love with him there. She was sent there to kill him, I think, and then fell
yeah,
in
they,
lo- and fell
and they
in
lived
love
together.
And they lived together, and he never questioned it. He just told her, he said, you know what, it's time for you to leave. Because he was like an old man. He was on the rocking chair, and she was right next to
like,
him. And had
people
an
are
going to
start
yeah,
asking
they're
questions.
They're going to start asking questions, and you just, it's time. You need to leave. And she loved him, and she left. She knew she had to.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. It would make for a good movie, I think. Because there's going to be lots of action, and then you deal with immortals, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the historical aspect is unlimited, right? Because they've lived for so long, you could go down so many different paths.
Yeah, you could tell so many stories, yeah.
They focused on the French guy because he was the one that betrayed the team. And all they did to punish him was they kind of banished him from the group. They
well,
didn't kill him.
They can't kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. His punishment was, what did they say, like 100 years or something?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to leave us for 100 years.
And
we'll
I
be back here in 100 years.
I really liked how the newbie knew, like, this fucker says he's your computer expert, and he's really not. Like, he's the
one.
Oh,
how they discovered it? Yeah. It's like, I know you guys don't know a lot about computers, but
yeah,
we were in a cave.
He's like leading you on. Like, this guy is supposed to be your computer expert, but he's betraying you. So yeah, it was the best of the bunch for me. Oh,
me
and we read Grave Diggers. Did you read that?
I did read that.
That one I liked. I actually. Was one I chose. This was one that they previewed, and I was like, "What the fuck is this art?" I hated it because they have two. They have two artists, and they have two artists. One of them I really like, and one of them I think is the writer who I don't think knows how to draw. It's like he's drawing the Cthulhu stuff on that planet where everybody's marching and stuff. And
yeah, I didn't understand the point of
that. Yeah, there was too much of that. That was like nonsense. But what you get into is like these guys are like supernatural defenders of the earth is what you get. The grave diggers themselves. And something big is happening and they know it's going to happen and they have to prevent it from happening.
Trying to find, I think that yeah, Retcon is the same artist.
The same artist of the one I like or the one I don't like?
Of Gravedigger, of the one you like.
Okay.
The
so
Toby Cypress.
I like that guy.
Maybe you will like Retcon then.
I don't like the art on the other part of it. Toby Cypress did Omega Man. So like I like his art. But what'd you think?
I wasn't crazy about it.
See, this notes is weird because I added this to my list, and you got a question mark next to it, probably.
I liked the I just have a no to this one.
I read two issues, though, back to back, so maybe that formed my opinion differently,
okay,
too.
I liked the concept, but I didn't really like the writing for some reason. It didn't work for me.
This one I added to my list. And I didn't choose it originally because the preview pages were that other guy's art.
Yeah, so this one, basically the issue is about this team, this Gravediggers Union, who are fighting off supernatural creatures. And they go to a graveyard and fight this junk monster. And you find out that there's been more and more creatures rising than usual in the world. But it's mostly about this team of kind of just the workers who are like low-level workers, basically, in this group. They're doing the dirty work.
Wes Craig is the writer, and he did the art for the pages that I don't understand too well.
And his name's familiar. What did he do?
I always think of him as James Bond. Isn't that?
he was James Bond.
What's that guy? The one guy that's James Bond, Craig? Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig. Okay, it's not
Craig
James
Russell.
Bond.
Deadly Class.
That's weird. My database has no work for him as a writer. I wonder if he's an artist.
Oh, he is an artist.
On Deadly Class?
I think so.
Yeah, because Deadly Class is like Rick Remender.
Yeah.
So this one I added to my list. And
he's an artist in whose art you don't like.
No. But I don't think I've read the Deadly Class where he was an artist in. I'm real behind in that book. Like
Batman.
What?
He did Batman.
Maybe I probably read it there too.
I'm gonna do a search for him.
Wes Craig is an artist. Let's see. Yeah, I have Batman second series. That's the Snyder run, annual 2. This has him as the Authority, volume 5, issue 5. He did Batman Strikes, which is like an animated style. He did some Gen 13, some Wildstorm work. Guardians of the Galaxy.
2 issues.
He did an issue of Nightwing. That doesn't make any sense. Number 88? Wow. Thunder Agents. I love that series. So maybe it's just his art style in... maybe it's just his art style in this book. Because it's very abstract.
Yeah.
It's a Cthulhu-type world where this people are... seems like they're working for this Cthulhu monster.
They're monkeys.
Yeah.
Monkey men. They're carrying sacks for the Cthulhu monster.
Nut sacks.
Well, maybe that's why I didn't like the writing, because this is by an artist. Stick to the arting book. Stick to the arting.
So this one got a question mark for you.
I got probably a no for me.
A no. A flat out no.
Flat out no.
And I gave it a yes. So if you like pretentious books, give it a no. And if you like more straightforward storytelling, give it a yes.
It was not pretentious enough for me.
Yeah.
Except for the first opening pages. Those were very pretentious.
And you had said you read The Wildstorm. I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Let's talk about that next time, because I only read the first 3 issues.
Oh.
Okay. I need to read I think there's 5 issues in the
I'm
trade.
I'm already up to issue 10, so. I think we covered everything. Mm-mm-mm. Did I give anything a 5 out of 5 this week? I did, but I gave it Strange Adventures, which is Old Dead Man. In The Wildstorm.
Wildstorm got 5 out of 5?
Yeah, for me.
Nice.
It seems like all my 5 out of 5s are old stuff lately. I mean, the only thing that's hit it recently is The Wildstorm. Like, last week was the Defenders 27 through 38. I read a lot of Defenders. I read the Spectre 1 through 12, and DC Universe Presents 1 through 8 again. And, oh, you know what I gave a 5 out of 5 to that I don't know if you read is Grave Tracers, which is a Black Mask. I like that a lot.
I don't think I read that one.
Yeah.
I probably have it.
I know you have it. I asked you. And you said yes on social media.
Oh. I thought you were talking about Grave... I got confused between that and Grave Diggers.
No, Grave Tracers was Black Mask. This is about a brother and sister going to visit the grave in the middle of the night of the father they don't know.
No, I didn't read that. I read Graveland.
Fucking creepy-ass family there. This was like a horror movie that's right up my alley.
I need to read Grave Tracers.
Did you even order it?
I usually order the Black Mask ones. Let me look it up.
Wait till you see this art style. This was like...
pretentious?
No, this was right in my alley. This was really pleasing to my eye. Grave tracers. Trancers. Grave trancers.
Grave trancers. Yes, I do have it.
As M.I. Miller did it, and then James Why Not. That's an interesting last name. Did the art.
I've seen, I think I like his stuff.
Oh my god, the cover is fantastic too. I love it. It's like one of my favorite covers. It's a crazy cover, man.
I did read one other. I don't know if you have this one. Oh, it's a Titan one, so you probably have it. We'll talk about it next time then.
What is it?
The Beautiful Death.
Oh, I have it, but the art doesn't really rock my world. I haven't had the strength to open it up.
It was really good. I recommend it. We'll do that for next time. And we did you read Mindy Woodcock yet?
Woodcock? What? What is that?
The girl who handcuffed Houdini.
Oh, no, I haven't read it. We could put that on the list.
Yeah, let's do both of those on next
All
time.
All right, so we're going to do Wildstorm, right?
Yeah, Wildstorm. Oh, I also got the hardcover of Jazz Maynard.
Oh, I can cover first volume of Jazz Maynard.
Oh, man, and the hardcover, it's like an oversized hardcover. Oh, it's beautiful.
I have the singles.
Yeah, loser.
Grave... What was the other one? Oh, the girl who handcuffed Houdini.
Mindy Woodcock.
Girl who handcuffed. And then you said beautiful.
Beautiful Death.
Okay.
I like the art. The art is not beautiful in that book.
I probably want to throw in some like other books too. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know.
Because you chose all of those except for the Wildstorm and Grave Trancers. I like the Grave Trancers. I just have to remember it. I read it so long ago. So good.
So long ago? When did it come out? Why haven't I read it yet?
I think when I asked you, you hadn't got your shipment yet. So I'm probably like a month. I read it about...
Over a month ago. Yeah.
Okay. Before Christmas. Yeah.
Okay, I will find it.
What else? We did TV and movies. We did comics. Any food? We already talked sort of food. At least I did.
I don't think I have any new food.
You haven't tried any more
fish in a tube?
Anchovy?
Fish on pizza? I have not.
That's not a good sign, though. Like, if your experience with anchovy pizza wasn't that good, it's like you just don't want to try it again.
I didn't say that. I'll try it. I'll try it. I got to find a place that specializes in anchovies on pizza.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Geek Brunch. Remember tomorrow, because I'll probably post this today.
How are you going to have time to edit all the stuff out that we don't want in the episode and normalize the levels and put in all the music in between sections?
Maybe you're right. Maybe this will be out in a couple of days. But try to get that friendship paradox from Monica and on Comixology, and we're located at geekbrunchpodcast.com, and on the Twitters at DBM00 is Bill. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch, and on Facebook we're Geek Brunch Podcast, and you can click the like button there and follow the episode threads. I found it interesting that we got an email. I don't know if you got the email too. I didn't want to mention it, but I'm going to mention it. It was from a...
I don't think I got the email.
It was from a nerd dating site, and they wanted us to interview the creator of the nerd dating site. And I'm like, that's weird.
You should have that person on DC Noise.
Yeah. Can we get a date for Daryl? He wants to suck on your toes and put chocolate on your feet.
That's right. What do I put in? What filters do I put in for toe sucking? And spaghetti.
Yeah. He wants to put spaghetti on your asshole and eat it. Does that work? And the guy would be like, "Oh, what the fuck did I get myself into? You're going to close my business."
And then Keith could tell some story about he did internet dating in the past.
Yeah, I don't think he has. Everyone.
You don't think so, but he's done everything.
No, Keith has done everything, but I don't think he's done internet dating because I think he's been with Michelle long enough.
The
internet.
The internet.
Yeah. Internet date is pre-internet. Yeah. I could be wrong. He could have been on AOL.com matchmating with the
it could have been the
14-4 modems. Yeah.
1-900 nerd date.
Yeah, nerd date. But yeah, every now and then we get some interesting emails. It's usually something to promote something.
Everyone likes to promote.
Yeah. All right. Well, emails are Mike or Bill at comicbooknoise.com, and we'll
just
see.
Let
you
us know what you want to promote.
I can't do 2 weeks. We'll have to figure something out. We could either do next week or the week after that.
Isn't the week after that 2 weeks? Oh, you mean
no,
the week after?
The week after that.
Okay. All right,
so,
we'll figure it out.
We'll have to figure that out, and then we have episode 100 of Retrocast, so I don't know. That's going to...
Celebration.
Yeah, it's going to have to bump this if it falls, because trying to get 3 people is harder than 2.
Especially for a live video cast.
Yeah, and there's the video cast and the fact that we have to have fluffers because we're going to be naked.
That's true. You gotta hire the fluffers.
Yeah, it's gonna be awkward as hell because you have to. I'm getting older, and you have to stay hard for 3 hours. That's fucking hard.
That's rough.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a challenge.
I'm gonna have to and then you're on video. I'm gonna have to go off. That's gonna be weird. I'm just gonna have to have a constant sucker, just constantly sucking.
When you're 18, it would be no problem.
It's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because I could go limp during those 3 hours because I could either she's either good at her job and she sucks it so good that I come and then I'm limp, or I don't know how do you keep it alive for 3
you gotta,
hours?
Yeah, you got to ride the edge.
It's gonna be
ride
tough.
The wave.
I'm almost 50. Come on, man. I'm going to have some serious popping Viagra for episode 100.
There you go. That's the other solution. Chemicals.
Yeah, and then 3 weeks later, I'm still hard.
You can't go to sleep that night.
I'm doing an episode of the Geek Brunch with you, and I'm hard. We're talking about the girl who handcuffed Houdini and Wildstorm, and I got a boner.
This comic could be a boner. Everything this week got 5 out of 5.
It's delicious. Everything. Fantastic. All the movies were fantastic.
It's the best movie I ever saw.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Bill, and I'll talk to you soon. I'll let you know what's going on probably to see if you want to try next weekend or Wednesday or Thursday or...
Okay, yeah, let me know.
Or if you want to kick the can. All right, talk to you later. Bye.